This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What's up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Football Nation is all football all the time, and there's so much happening around the NFL. It's going to take a full show to get to it all. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries, and we are going to have a lot of fun today. Isn't that right, Todd?
Fun is the operative word, Bill. Thursday night football, baby. Not a bad matchup tonight, my friend.
It's about time the NFL scheduling committee got it right. Falcons and Saints, Thursday night game. If you're listening to this show live, you know that game's just kicking off in a few hours. But you know what? If you're listening to it on demand, you probably already saw the outcome of this game.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're right, Bill. It's been kind of a lousy slate of Thursday night games and not a lot of juice. I'm pretty fired up for this one. I think this is a good one. You know, this is the game, and we'll get into a little later on more details, but the Falcons can kind of put the Saints to bed, quite honestly, if they can take down the Saints tonight. You know, the Saints have had a nice little comeback, right, but they need to beat the 10-1 Falcons in order to keep their playoff hopes alive.
All right, so we have that NFC South divisional matchup tonight, Thursday, Falcons versus the Saints. Big weekend of divisional matchups, including the Patriots taking on AFC East rival Miami Dolphins. We'll give you an updated look at the playoff picture as it stands right now as we're heading into week 13. Plus, we'll spend some time previewing all of the games for this weekend, help you out with your fantasy football squads. We will reveal our Football Nation power rankings, and then later on we'll be joined by our very special guest, Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. Plus, we're going to play a little guessing game. We want to see what the top-selling NFL jerseys are right now. Todd has the answers. Kevin and I will try to guess who makes that list.
Oh, you didn't cheat, did you? You didn't cheat.
I did not cheat. No, I promise. I did not cheat. We want to hear some of your guesses, too. So if you're listening live, give us a call right now, 1-888-963-2682. Or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. Let us know who you think has the top-selling NFL jersey right now. Todd, what is it, a top 10 list, or is it just the highest grossing? Well, how did this list work?
Yeah, here's the deal. It's the NFL's best-selling jerseys, and the reason this is noteworthy today is that there's a new number one. So a new player sits atop the list of the top jerseys. That made it newsworthy, and these are the sales monitored from April 1st until yesterday, Bill. So, you know, kind of around the draft until today. So it's kind of a recent look at those top-selling jerseys. Big money to be made on the jerseys, Bill.
I know
you collect jerseys, right?
I'm a big jersey guy. I love getting a lot of jerseys from different NFL teams. I really go by the player when it comes to the jerseys that I want. It could be old school. It could be new school. It could be defensive guy. It could be offensive guy. It really depends on what I'm in the mood for, what I want to wear that day. But every Sunday, you can pretty much find me in a different jersey, most of which has to do a whole lot with my fantasy team. Now, I have some guesses as to who makes this list. And a few of the factors I'm thinking is if a player is on a new team, rookies tend to do very well, or if a guy has been a staple in the league for the last for the last 5 or 10 years, whatever it is, usually their jerseys are a very hot ticketed item. Kevin, are you going to play along with me, or am I just going to start guessing solo?
Is Kevin around? Did he fall asleep?
I don't think Kevin's there. Anyway.
You're starting solo, my friend.
All right, that's fine. All right, so my guess for the top-selling jersey. Now, you kind of threw me off with this. There was a new number one today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go ahead and guess who I thought the number one was, regardless of the news you just told me.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Peyton Manning, Denver Bronco jersey. Obviously, Peyton, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL the last decade, joined the new team, and all those Bronco fans out there, you have to support the new guy in town, especially when it's someone like Peyton Manning. You have to go out and grab his jersey. So that's who I thought had the top-selling jersey going into today.
Okay, now, he's on the list. So
all right, he's on the list.
He's in the top 10. He's in the top 10. Why don't you get a little, you know, your little pencil and paper ready?
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to do. When you guess right, I'm going to tell you what place the guy came in 1 through 10.
All right.
So you need to fill in the gaps. Peyton Manning is in the top 10, but he's not number 1.
He's not number 1. Are you going to tell me what number he is?
Two.
All right, so before today, I'm guessing he was number one.
I think you're right on that. I think you're right on that, yes. But he's not number one anymore. So from April 1st through November 27th, there's somebody else that sold more jerseys than him.
All right, now the second thing I mentioned was rookies. Rookies' jerseys always do well. It's the same thing when you sign a big free agent like Peyton Manning. That team has to go out and support their new star player. And I think since Peyton Manning left, I'm going to go ahead and guess Andrew Luck is now the number one jersey. Think about all those Colts fans that were wearing Peyton Manning jerseys since 1998 or 1999, whenever it was. Now Andrew Luck's in town. He's the number one draft pick. I bet Andrew Luck is either number one or he's in the top five.
He's in the top 10, but he's not number one. He's not in the top five.
He's not in the top five. What number is he?
Andrew Luck is number six.
Number six.
I think Kevin just woke up from his nap. Kevin, did you see this list yet?
If you didn't, I haven't seen it. I'm just guessing.
Okay. All right. So we got number two and number six.
Number two?
Number two is Peyton Manning, Broncos jersey. Number six is Andrew Luck, Colts jersey.
All right. I'm going to go with another rookie then and say RG3. He has to be in that list somewhere.
He is numero uno.
Wow. Robert Griffin III, quarterback, Washington Redskins, taking out Peyton Manning for the top-selling jersey right now in the NFL. Now, obviously, RG3, I was going to get his Baylor jersey, Todd, if you remember we had that discussion back in April. And then I don't really like the Washington Redskins colors, so I didn't get his NFL jersey. But I could certainly see why he has the top-selling jersey in the NFL right now. Guy's electrifying. He's on fire.
Okay, so you got number one, number two, and number six. Who do you think is number three?
I'm going to go ahead and guess with another quarterback, another player that is on a new team. Now, this one doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I know he's popular among a certain community of NFL fans, and that's Tim Tebow.
He's number eight.
Ah, damn.
Honestly, I'm surprised he's on the list at all.
No, I'm really not, and here's why, Todd.
Well, I guess if you're going back to April 1st.
His jersey was a top-selling jersey last year for the Broncos. Now that he was on the Jets, the same type of people that wanted to root for him outside of Denver had to get his new jersey with the Jets.
Now, we
know he doesn't play at all.
Right.
But still,
well, you're
wearing
right.
A Tebow jersey, that shows you represent some kind of ideology. Am I right?
Well, and also, I forgot what I just told you, which is that the sales data goes back to April 1st. So, you know, you had the whole preseason to get excited about Tebow. And at that time, you didn't know what his role was going to be, you know? So, all right, so he's number eight. So you got number eight. So you got four out of the ten. Now, you haven't missed it. You haven't whiffed at all yet, Bill.
I have not whiffed at all. RG3, number one. Peyton Manning, number two. Andrew Luck is six. Tim Tebow's number eight. All four quarterbacks, two of which are rookies, Peyton Manning, Tim Tebow, both in new places. So my criteria in the thinking for these guesses was right on so far.
Right.
All right.
So far, so good.
Now I think it gets a little tough. I'm shocked all four of those guys weren't in the top five. So RG3, Peyton Manning, Luck, Tebow. Who am I going to guess at number? What about Rob Gronkowski?
No.
Did he make the list?
No.
Really? Gronk didn't make the list.
Not in the top ten at all.
I'm surprised Gronk didn't make the list. He set the world on fire last season. He's a great guy to root for. He's a party animal. Everyone loves that about him.
The injury only happened
a couple weeks ago, so it's not like people stopped buying his jersey all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not a bad guess. But all right, so there are three of them on here I probably wouldn't have gotten that are left. You have six left. Three of them you probably should get. Three of them you probably won't.
Three of them
there's a little bit of a hint for you. Yeah.
All right, let's go with the other Manning brother. Just won a Super Bowl. I'm going to go with Eli. He's somewhere in this top 10 list.
Yes, he's number four.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Eli Manning,
number four.
All right, Eli Manning, number four.
Okay, five to go. Number three, number five, number seven, number nine, number 10.
And Gronkowski's not on there. Are you sure you're double-checking that list?
He's not
on
there. I've got it right in front of me.
All right. Brady on it?
Yes, he's number five.
Tom Brady?
Tom Brady's number five.
All quarterbacks so far.
Everyone sucks but me.
I'll tell you this.
Everyone sucks but you, and that's why you're on a top five selling NFL jersey year in and year out. I bet Brady is in the top five every year.
I think he's full of shit.
No, I don't know. I think I'm right about that.
All right, so here's the deal. You've named
5 out of 10.
There, out of the 10, 7 of them are quarterbacks.
All right, so there's 2 more quarterbacks on this list.
Did you do Breeze? I wasn't paying attention.
No, that was going to be my next guess. Drew Breeze,
and
Todd.
No.
No? Wow. Wow.
Who have we got so far that are
quarterbacks? Here's who you've gotten, okay? Number 1, RG3. Number 2, Peyton Manning. Number 3, you have not gotten yet. Number 4, Eli Manning. Number 5, Tom Brady. Number 6, Andrew Luck. Number 7, you have not gotten yet. Number 8, Tim Tebow.
Right.
Number 9 and number 10 are empty so far.
What about the burger? Steelers Nation's big.
Roethlisberger? No, I'm not buying into that. His public perception is terrible. Him and Jay Cutler, probably top 10 lowest-selling jerseys.
Is that an official guess?
I'm guessing the burger.
You would be incorrect.
Damn. Incorrect.
Trying to think outside the box.
Big Ben, Gronk, and Breeze are not on this list.
Again,
if you want to give your guesses, 508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. We want to hear some of your guesses for top-selling NFL jerseys. But you got to hurry up.
Are we going to keep this going? Are we going to come back to this later?
No, I want to finish this off. This needs to be solved now. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you guys can't get me off. All right, you two morons. If you can't get number 3 in the next 10 seconds, you guys are not worthy of being football fans.
Arian Foster?
No.
No, running backs don't do well in jersey sales. Wide receivers do well. Calvin Johnson?
No.
Not Calvin Johnson, not Arian Foster.
They're not number 3. They're not even in the top 10.
Really?
This is brutal.
You guys are terrible.
Calvin Johnson, no. Arian Foster, no. All right, I'm writing this down.
Adrian Peterson, no. You said no running backs, right?
There's four players left that you haven't got, and one's a quarterback.
I mean,
one's a quarterback.
You guys are really too many.
Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
All right, jeez. Aaron Rodgers. No, wait. Why are you doing that beeping sound?
Just because you
guessed. I got
that one right. Except that you got it.
All right, so now you got the 3 left, guys. And honestly, these are the 3 hardest ones: number 7, 9, and 10.
I'm going to go defensive.
I'll say this: the quarterbacks are gone. There's no more quarterbacks on the list. So this 7 of the 8 that you've guessed 7 of them, and they're all quarterbacks.
What about Clay Matthews?
No, I like the guess for a defensive player, but not Clay Matthews. You need to go linebacker.
Do you want any hints
He's
here?
He's a linebacker.
Do you want any hints?
For
the Packers.
Do you want any hints?
Absolutely no hints.
All right,
we could be here all night.
RG3. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Andrew
Luck.
All quarterbacks are number 6. Of course it's not. All right. Number 7. Again, it might be a running back, Kevin, but I just don't think their jersey sales.
Wait, so how long is this year? What are we doing?
Oh my God.
I was setting up a podcast in the other room. I'm sorry.
These are the jersey sales going back from April 1st through today.
April 1st. Okay.
I'm really surprised Calvin Johnson's not on it.
Yeah, I am.
Madden cover boy had 16 touchdowns last year. I thought his jersey would be hot, flying off the shelves, but I guess I'm wrong on that.
Interesting little tidbit here. We've got through all the quarterbacks already.
Yeah.
The biggest drop on this list over the past 2 months is Tony Romo.
He's not in the top 10.
No, I'm just saying that they made a point of it that his jersey is plummeting.
Kevin, we got to get a I know there has to be a defensive player.
There's
got to
be at least one, right?
Yeah, it has to be at least one guy in here.
Do you want a hint or no?
No, absolutely not a hint.
This could be a 2-hour show of this guessing.
That's fine. I think people are loving it.
Took you 15 minutes to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but it took me 3 seconds to get RG3, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, and Luck.
They were all layups.
I don't know.
All right.
Number 7 or 9 or 10.
Here, I'm going to give you one hint, okay?
Here's the hint.
There's one offensive player and 2 defensive players left. Okay?
2 defensive players are making the list.
Yeah.
2 defensive guys. Kevin, who's the most popular defensive person in the NFL right now?
I would have said Clay Matthews.
What about Ray Lewis?
I guess.
You think everyone has his jersey by now?
Yeah, he's old.
All right, we're not guessing Ray Lewis. We're just throwing out ideas. What about Patrick Willis? up-and-coming linebacker, probably going to be the best linebacker in the next 5 years.
You guys are putting out a lot of names. I need an official guess.
Clay Matthews is in all those commercials and everything. That's why I was guessing.
I need a final answer.
I'm not doing Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews is not my guess. I'm guessing Patrick Willis.
Each of you have a guess. I need a guess in the next couple seconds.
All right, Patrick Willis is my guess.
I'm guessing Clay Matthews. I'm sticking with my guns.
One of you is correct at number 10, and one is incorrect. One is not on the list.
Well, how that? Yeah, who?
Who's right?
Bill is correct.
Damn it.
Yeah, baby. Pencil it in. Patrick Willis, number 52 for the San Francisco 49ers. I love that jersey. I actually have that jersey, and it's not because I'm a 49er fan. I'm not. But if you ever seen Patrick Willis play football, that is how a middle linebacker needs to play this game.
So,
love watching him play. Love his backstory. Took care of his brothers, his sisters. Growing up, I believe it was in Mississippi, had to live with his high school basketball coach for a couple years. His family, his father kind of left him a little bit. His mother left him.
Would you read his biography or something?
No, this is the bio.
Love the Patrick Willis story. Love the Patrick Willis story.
So there's one defensive player and one offensive player left, right?
And they're both having subpar seasons or worse.
Subpar or worse?
You're not going to get them. You're not going to get them.
You know what? I was really reaching on Patrick Willis, only because, in my mind, best defensive player in the league. That's why I guessed him. I don't have another guess left in me for 7 to 10.
Okay, well, here's the deal.
It's
interesting to note, before I get to the two, the J.J. Watt is number 17. So it's interesting that apparently he is seeing the fastest rise over the past couple months.
So, I can understand that. J.J. Watt really coming on strong this season. But he was a rookie last year.
Let's think about this, though, for a second. So there was a Patriot, right? Mm-hmm. There was a Packer.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think. There was Eli for New York, Tim Tebow for New York. You got to think of, like, the big market. Big football fan markets. And now, if the burger's not on there, somebody from Pittsburgh is on that list.
Someone from Pittsburgh
has to be on that list.
You think of Pittsburgh Steelers
on
this list.
You have not, like, all right, so.
Who's the most popular Pittsburgh Steeler other than Ben Roethlisberger?
And I don't know, but I'm just saying, though. But, like, I've seen them travel, like, the way that they travel. There is a freaking Steeler. There has to be.
All right, so you want to stick with the Steeler.
I'm just trying to think.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's not going to be any of their running backs.
It's not going to be
any of their wide receivers.
No, it's not.
It has to be.
It's not Shampoo Boy, is it?
Oh, that's a great guess, actually. He's having a subpar season.
Head and shoulders?
He's a defensive player.
Correct.
He's on a lot of commercials.
He is number 9.
All right, I knew
Troy Polamalu.
There had to have been a Steeler.
Good guess, Kevin.
Kevin.
All right.
And then the other one, so there's one more offensive player?
And number 7 is an offensive player.
And can you give us, all right, so off, you don't want any more hints.
I would have never guessed Troy Polamalu. Never would have guessed that.
But I knew that there had to have been a Steeler. We just had to talk through it. I've seen that fan base in action, and they are all wearing jerseys, like when you see them. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's a safe jersey to get on this list.
I'm just trying to think.
All right, so another offensive player. What's the clue that we have?
And it's just this year.
I can give you a bunch of other clues.
No.
Make it easier.
Give us a division.
No. Have him give us a position at least.
All right.
And then that just makes it the whole.
Well, we know it's not a quarterback
or wide receiver.
It's a wide receiver, you said?
It's a wide receiver.
Okay.
And so it's not Calvin Johnson.
And it's not Calvin.
Larry Fitz?
No, it's not him. That market's not conducive to.
Everyone loves Larry Fitz.
Yeah, but I just don't think. I don't know. I think that's. They were talking about some of the biggest fraud sports fan cities, and I think
Arizona's one of them.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's not good.
It's
a wide receiver not named Calvin Johnson.
A big market
not
wide
named
receiver.
Larry Fitz.
His quarter. Want me to give you one more
hint?
It
can't be Brandon Marshall. No.
No.
His quarterback is on this top 10 list.
Wes Walker.
No. It's not a Redskin. It's not.
I really hope it's not Greg Jennings.
It's not a Patriot. It's not a Packer.
How about? I know who it is. I know who it is, but I'm not gonna.
I gotta guess.
I'll let Kevin guess this last one. If it's not Greg Jennings, it's not Wes Welker.
Wait. So who are the? So it's not Jennings. It's not Wes.
Kevin, think about it. It's a wide receiver in a big market with his quarterback on this list already.
He came
alive last year.
Victor.
Definitely. Yeah, it has to be him.
There you go.
Really?
Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz, UMass's own. Victor Cruz is number 7?
UMass's own.
How about it?
That's crazy. Yeah, no. He was in some of my classes when I was in school.
Was he?
Yeah. He did salsa, but
he's a good guy.
He was in my oceanography class.
So there you have it, guys.
All right, so here's
the
list.
I never would have guessed him, Bill.
I'll go down the list for you guys just to cap it off.
Let's hear it, Todd.
Number one, overtaking Peyton Manning for the first time, Robert Griffin III. Number two, Peyton Manning. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. Number four, Eli Manning. Five, Tom Brady. Six, Andrew Luck. Number seven, Victor Cruz. Number eight, Tim Tebow. Number nine, Troy Polamalu. And number 10, Patrick Willis.
All right. You're right. I wouldn't have guessed. It took us a while, rightfully so.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was
fun. And we had to have hints.
That was a lot of fun. But listen, we guessed RG3, we guessed Peyton, we guessed Eli, Tom Brady, Luck, Tebow.
Yeah, I never would have, without Todd's hints, I never would have guessed Victor. I don't know why. He's just not one of those guys that pops.
But that does
Victor.
Make sense. Now that he said it, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially since it's like a what have you done for me lately league. And I mean, it's just funny.
Think about it. Victor Cruz, not many NFL players represent a Spanish or Hispanic
background.
Victor Cruz, perfect for that. Does a salsa. He's
That's
a salsa
true.
King.
A lot of visibility last year, too, with obviously the Giants season.
Yeah, a lot of visibility
season.
Last year.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense.
Yeah. There you go. So that was a great list. I like that. I like playing
that was
that
fun.
Game.
I don't know if it was
we
fun
We do it
to
next week,
to,
too? But... You think it'll change?
What? No.
I was just kidding.
No, we'll do it again next preseason.
So the list was only top 10, Todd? Am I correct there? Or was it like... Okay. Because you said J.J.
Like
Watt
said,
was like
they
17,
said that
so...
Another fast riser was J.J. Watt. Okay. Shot up to number 17, and the big drop was Tony Romo.
Yeah, I could see him. He's having a monster year, and the whole J.J. Swat thing has taken off. Get to see that boy in a few weeks. Not looking forward to it. Hopefully he doesn't eat me on the way out of the tunnel.
What do you say we move over to the Patriots-Dolphins matchup this week?
I'm going to play the music.
There you go. Play the music.
Life is good when you're a Patriots fan. Woo-wee! It's even better when they're winning.
Brady, back to throw. Looks, fires. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for Bill and Todd to break down the Pats on Football Nation.
All right, let's move over. Dolphins-Patriots matchup. We saw what the Pats did to the Jets on Thanksgiving. That win gave them a perfect 4-0 division record in the AFC East. No real surprise, but the AFC East, the Pats have it in a stranglehold, Todd.
Yeah, they do. And you know, guys, we have a little bet going on here with those Patriots.
We're holding on strong here, Bill. We're holding on.
Yes, we are. That's what I like.
Yeah, we made the bet. What week was that when they played Seattle? Right before Seattle?
Yeah, it was right before Seattle. So that had to have been like week 5, I think, because they were 3-3 coming off that loss.
I believe it was week – might be game 5, but
game
I believe
five?
It was – it's week 6.
Week 6?
Week
okay.
6. Probably game 5, but week 6.
Right.
So they've gone a nice little streak since that one, guys. But if they lose one more game, the Patriots, I win the bet. And we still haven't really locked down what the loser has to do, but we'll figure that out.
Drinks at
I got a feeling, guys, next 3 or 4 weeks here, it's going to happen. Patriots are going to go down one of these weeks.
Wow.
Will it be this
week? Those are fighting words.
Those are big words coming from Todd.
Will it be this week?
It can't be this week. Not against the Dolphins. Right now, New England, one of the hottest teams in the league. They are on a 5-game winning streak, which is tied with the Texans and Broncos for the longest winning streak in the league. Plus the Patriots, they've scored at least 29 points in every one of those 5 victories. But you know what? The Dolphins, they had an impressive come-from-behind victory over the Seahawks in week 12. So, Todd, while I think the Patriots end up winning, maybe it's just not a cakewalk this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my gosh. One of these weeks, they got to stub their toe on offense a little bit, right? I mean,
the last four weeks,
Patriots, 45, 37, 59, 49 points.
A lot of those scored by the defense and special teams, though.
There you go. At least 2 in each game, I think. At least 2 in each game.
That's contributing to the obscene numbers, no doubt about it.
Well, their offense is first in the NFL right now with 37 on average points per game, which is ridiculously good. I think Kerry Byrne actually is going to come on later in the show and talk about how they are on pace to break their own team record back in, 2007?
The league record, yeah.
Yeah, the league record, which is set by them with that Tom Brady
record. Yeah, they're on pace to go over 600 points, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
How do you see this breaking down?
What's that? I said they're first in the NFL, 435 yards per game.
Right.
They're fourth in passing, 292 yards per game. Sixth in rushing, 143 yards per game. Now, their defense lets up a couple points, 22 points per game. That's good enough for 13th in the league. They're allowing around 390 yards, which is, in the bottom five. 289 passing yards, bottom three. The rushing defense is good, 100 yards per game. That's 10th in the NFL.
So how do you see this shaking out? I mean, does Ryan Tannehill pose any threat here?
Any quarterback playing against the Patriots can play well at some point in the game. What's happening is the Pats are getting up by so much, all the quarterbacks are just throwing the rest of the game into third or fourth quarter, and they're getting a lot of garbage time.
Yeah.
You know, that's why stats, they say stats don't lie, but sometimes I disagree with that.
Well, I mean, you know, Miami's still technically, I mean, they're kind of right in the heart of this wild card race, believe it
they
or
are.
Not.
Yeah, they are.
So they got a lot to play for here. They're 5-6. The Bengals and Steelers ahead of them are 6-5. And really, the three of them seem to be the ones fighting for that last wild card spot. You know, Pittsburgh's obviously got problems with Big Ben hurt.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, you can't really believe in them. So, hey, if Miami can get the huge win here, you know, this is a huge, huge game for the Dolphins. They're at home. You know, they've done well down in Miami against the Dolphins or the Patriots in the past. Not last year, though. Last year, how many yards did Brady throw for last year?
Over 500.
Yeah.
In Miami, right.
Yeah, Welker had a huge game in Miami, the season opener, 2011 season opener, last time they were in Miami. But,
like Chad Henne had like 400 yards in that game.
Yeah, he did. Chad Henne, who's having a rebirth in Jacksonville.
Yeah, how about that?
He just pops from one Florida town to the next.
I can't blame him.
400 yards.
Yeah.
Chad Henne. I don't know, Bill. I think this is going to be an ugly game. I think the Patriots' offense kind of stubs its toe a little bit, and I think this is an ugly game, and I think the Patriots probably pulled out, but I don't think this is going to be a dominant 49-point performance by the team. I don't think they're going to get those defensive scores they've been getting the past couple of weeks either. Ugly game. I'll give the Patriots the win. Let's see. 26-21.
26-21. Close game. Very close
yeah.
game. Now, the Dolphins' offense, they're only averaging 19 points a game. That's 26th in the NFL. So you're giving them, what, 2 points above their average. Not that big of a deal. Now, if the sprinklers go off in this game, we know Joel Philbin's up to something, right? Like, is there going to be, like, a sprinkler gate?
Yeah, that would be might be the only way to stop Tom Brady in this one.
Maybe everyone does not know what I'm referring to. In week 12, when they're playing Miami, when they're playing the Seahawks, the sprinklers went off during the game. I thought it was hilarious.
Like that Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, right?
Exactly.
There's a guy behind the green curtain pushing buttons there, trying to help those Dolphins out. Well, you know, and they got the win. It surprised me that they beat Seattle. That's a good win for them. But now they have to do it again this week, Bill. I don't know, man. I just think it's going to be a weird, close game.
Interesting tidbit, and you guys may have touched on this, but the Patriots, since 2001, which is basically the start of this run that they've been on, in the month of December, they're 41-5.
Wow.
Which is just ridiculous. It's far and away head and shoulders, blows everybody out of the water, right?
Right.
So of those five losses in December, three of them are in
Miami. No way.
Yeah.
Three of them came against Miami?
Three of the five are against Miami in Miami in December.
Wow.
So, just a little trend there.
I'll tell you what happens.
KC's golden nugget.
This is what happens. New England gets cold. End of November, early December gets cold, all right? All of a sudden, you go down to Miami and it's hot, and you're seeing bikinis, you're seeing Lauren Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill's wife in the stands, all the Miami Dolphins cheerleaders, they got the Dolphin out there doing circles or whatever the heck he's doing. It gets distracting.
That's it? That's your, what's that, Al Roker with the analysis there?
Well, what else do you have to explain?
I don't know.
What other explanation could there be?
I hear you. I think it's weird that they haven't played Miami yet this year for a divisional game. They get to play them the last week of the season as well.
It's odd that they're done with Buffalo and done with the Jets, and they haven't played Miami yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird. It's a weird scheduling quirk, but I don't know. What do you think, Kevin? Do you think this is another blowout? Do you think it's close?
I think the rat's on early. I think they're going to put up at least 40 points, and I think they're going to win probably by at least 10. I would say, we'll say like 45-27.
Now, the Dolphins' defense, they only allow 20 points on average per game. That's ninth in the league.
Yeah.
So they aren't letting up a lot of points. but they're allowing 20, and their offense is only scoring 19.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Not impressed.
Not impressed.
Nope. I think the route's
good.
I think Brady.
To be fair, Kevin, I think that you could. I think you've made the same prediction every week thus far this season.
No. Absolutely not. That's not true.
No.
I'll have to pull the
every
tape.
Prediction's like
last week I was right. The week before I was right. Baltimore, I think I said they were going to lose. Seattle, I said would be tight. I thought they'd kill the Cardinals. I was completely wrong on that. I don't know. I have to go through. But so we have these pick 'em pools that all over the place with my buddies, the same guys that I do fantasy with.
Right.
And so I can kind of go back because I always pick, you know, I would say what I would pick in my pick 'em pool pretty much in terms of if they're going to cover or not. And I probably have been wrong like two or three times. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think Miami has the horses, and I think that the Patriots are going to come out and get a lead, and they're going to force Tannehill to have to be one-dimensional and try and throw it around, and I think it's just going to get ugly. I think it's going to be a lot of the same as what you saw last week.
All right, so you're predicting they go into the Houston game on a red-hot six-game winning streak.
Yeah, the only way
blowing everyone out.
The only way that I see Miami making this competitive is if the Patriots turn the ball over like three times. That's the only way I see it.
What about if Tannehill turns it over three or four times?
It's gonna be. I mean, I think Miami's gonna. I think Miami's good for at least two turnovers in this game. Probably
exactly.
More.
Patriots very opportunistic defense.
Yeah, and I think that number could be driven up. If the Patriots offense is just having a good day, never mind a great day, because
right.
I think they're gonna feel the pressure and the need to throw the ball around, and I think. I mean, so Devon Bess and Brian Hartline, they're good. They're good players, and I'd take them on my team any day of the week, but they don't really strike fear into my heart, and I think that this defense isn't great, but I think it's plenty good enough to complement the way this offense is playing right now. And I think Miami's just going to be a fly on the windshield. That's all I
see. Now, do you think with the Texans and 49ers looming on the schedule
that they'll look past it?
Not that they look past it. I don't believe that a team looked past it. But they kind of know, listen, we need to just take care of business here, and then the real grunt work starts in weeks 14 and week 15.
I think they probably understand that, even though they won't say it. But I don't think there's any way they're looking past the Dolphins.
I don't think any team looks
past
them. Well,
because here's the thing. I think Coach Belichick probably has, is drilling them this week in terms of, this is what our record is down there over the, since I've been coach here, we've lost plenty of tough games, like blah, blah, blah. I think he's really probably preaching that hard this week.
What about from a Patriots fan perspective? Do you kind of just consider this, we'll go down there, we'll take care of business, then the real fight starts next week?
Yeah, so I'd say definitely our fans this week calling into all the shows that I run,
yeah,
have been more looking forward to that Houston game, which is understandable. I think most of our talk show hosts up here have just sort of been writing this one off as a pretty easy win. And now that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But I don't think the football team's doing that. I think that we can do it, like in the media, but I don't think that the coaching staff and our players are, in that boat.
Well, if you are a Patriots fan and you're listening to us live, give us a call. Tell us what you think about this game versus the Miami Dolphins, 508-298-0398. When we return, we'll preview the rest of the Week 13 games. We're just getting started here on Patriots.com Radio. You're listening to Football Nation.
Football Nation, the pulse of NFL fans everywhere.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good. They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back. We got a lot of matchups for Week 13, a lot of divisional battles, starting with tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, Saints versus Falcons in an NFC South showdown. But before we get into those games, our friend Olivier from Virginia is on the line. What's going on, Olivier? How you doing, pal? How was your Thanksgiving?
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Doing great, my friend.
Yeah? Excellent. Did you have a good Thanksgiving with your families?
We sure did, and I understand that I have some waffles in transit. I haven't checked my mail yet today, but I understand that those waffles...
That is correct. I think
...are going to be on my doorstep, so I'm looking forward to that.
To you.
There you go. So that'll be the dessert to my Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you guys are going to...
Waffles in transit. That sounds like a band name or something like that.
I know. It sounds like a... An interesting movie.
Yeah, Waffles in Transit.
Like a porno or something. That one.
Very good. So anyways, I wanted to let you know that your recommendations from last week allowed me to win my week against my opposition, which was fantastic, especially Dez Bryant. I had an unbelievable game.
Damn right he did.
Yeah, I did not go with Carson Palmer or with Andrew Luck. I changed to Matt Ryan and Andy Dalton. And I think I did the right thing.
Okay.
I also chose St. Louis as a defense, and they really, really kicked butt. So
yeah,
from that perspective,
Jenkins,
I did pretty well. Now, this week is a little bit different. So I still have Ryan and Dalton, and I'm wondering whether I should substitute Ryan with a guy like Romo, or even substitute Dalton with Eli, because he seems like he's a good matchup against the Skins.
I would leave Ryan in your lineup. Going to have a great game tonight, Thursday Night Football against the Saints.
Yep.
Yeah, you could swap out Eli playing that Monday night game against the 32nd-ranked passing defense of the Washington Redskins, but I don't mind having Dalton or Romo in your lineup. I actually like Romo a little bit better than Eli playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. Sunday night football, we saw what Cam Newton did to the Eagles on Monday night in Week 12. I think Romo can do a lot of the same on Sunday night in Week 13.
What about Kaepernick? You think he's a good pickup to...
Kaepernick's not bad. Yeah, Kaepernick's not bad at all. Playing against the tough St. Louis Rams defense. Remember, the 49ers and Rams tied the last time they played.
Oh, that's true.
You know, I don't think it's going to be a blowout like a lot of people expect, even though the Niners are playing very good right now.
Yeah.
I would leave Kaepernick out there. Either go with Romo, go with Eli, or go with Dalton, but Matt Ryan has to be in your lineup.
Okay, fantastic. So that's good. What about the running back? I still have Reese and the hamster, and I'm thinking maybe I should substitute Reese with Bryce Brown. It's pretty inexpensive, or Jennings.
Yeah, love Bryce Brown. The thing about Marcel Reese is Darren McFadden may come back this week, so I would leave Reese out of your lineup. I would much rather you see with Doug. With Bryce Brown.
Bryce Brown, yeah, I agree with you. Excellent. In terms of wide receivers, I mean, I still have Bryant and Hilton. So I was wondering if, Bryant should go and I should maybe substitute him with either Shorts or Cruz and yet still keep Hilton in the background.
No, leave Bryant, dump Hilton, go with Cruz.
Yeah,
Victor Cruz, by the way, top 10 selling jersey in the NFL. You have to go with him.
Yeah, I know. By the way, Olivia
knew that. We didn't know, but Olivia.
I didn't know that, but I know you guys are from New York, and you are a big Giants fan, and even
that's not true necessarily.
But you know what? I respect that organization. I think it's a good organization.
Oh,
I have to give credit to where the credit is due, even though I'm a past fan. Anyways, you guys are in New Jersey, right?
What?
You guys live in New Jersey, correct?
I do. Yes.
Oh, okay. Incorrect. Todd, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Todd, whereabouts unknown?
Where in Pennsylvania?
Todd,
I'm out in central PA right now. I'm a man on the move. I'm always moving around.
It sounds like another name for a band, Man on the Move. Anyway,
Todd lives in a treehouse.
Oh, that's better than a trailer.
Sometimes.
Oh, all right. Olivia, what else you got here, man?
Only during the flood.
Yes. For the tight end, I still have Justin Keller. I think, you know, it's kind of the cheapest option I can find right now on tight end. And I might be able to save some money if I drop Dalton and as a quarterback, and if I pick up Eli, and I might be able to do some other tight ends. But at this point...
So how long are we going here?
Oh, sorry, Bill.
Go on. Listen, if you don't want to play Dustin Keller and you can't afford any other tight end, I like Dustin Keller because he's probably relatively cheap.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But I guess if you want to save some money, go with a cheaper quarterback, then you can upgrade a tight end.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Or even a wide receiver is kind of what I was thinking of doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the kicker, I'm keeping Legatron because he's pretty inexpensive. Now, the defense is a big question. I have the Rams right now, and I think I may drop them. And I may pick up either the Jets or the Cowboys defense because I'm thinking that
Jets are a top five defense this week. They're playing against a rookie quarterback, Ryan Lindley. Doesn't know what team he plays for because he's constantly throwing to the wrong jersey. I would go with the Jets defense. They're going to be angry after that blowout loss against the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving. I would go with the Jets.
Yeah, agreed. Well, as always, gentlemen, you've done great in supporting my campaign and trying to, to keep my honor and not being beat by my competition. But I hope you enjoy your waffles. And if you do, we'll make some more batches and we'll send them your way.
Thanks, Olivier. Truly appreciate it. And the waffles, I'm looking forward to having them.
Sounds good. Have a great Thursday and a great weekend. Take care, guys. Thanks for your help.
You're the man, Olivier.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, Olivier's always got fantasy questions, Bill. No matter what part of the show it is,
he just calls in whenever he wants.
Bill, you should just charge. Charge by the minute.
I do charge. It's called FFChamps.com. We're giving away a free membership for 2012 if you prepay for 2013.
You're too expensive now. I've resorted to using Todd.
Shameless plug.
What do we got? What do we got here?
I think we're going to do the Week 13 previews.
Let's do it. Big game tonight, baby. Come on, roll the music there, Kev. All right. So, Bill.
Yeah. I'm here.
Falcons.
Bill, you sound depressed.
I'm just listening to the new music that Kevin has.
It's good
going.
Music, isn't it?
I wanted to hear it a little
builds
bit.
Up to a crescendo here.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, nice little crescendo.
The Autumn
at the
Wind
end.
Is a Pirate or whatever.
Nice. Nice. I like that. All right. Yeah, I like that. Well, I was kind of getting a feel for how this segment should go with the music. Yeah, I like it. Feeling it. Definitely feeling it. All right, so big Thursday night matchup, Saints-Falcons, NFC South. You got Matt Ryan. You got Drew Brees. You got a lot of offensive fireworks in this one. Last time these two teams played, the Saints beat the Falcons, ended their undefeated season. Drew Brees had over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, 411 yards and 3 touchdowns. And it was a big day for the tight ends, if you remember. Both of their tight ends had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns each. That's Jimmy Graham and Tony Gonzalez. So, Todd, what do we think is going to happen in this one? Do the Falcons stick with only one loss, or the Saints hand them their second defeat of the year?
I don't have a great feel for this one, to be honest with you.
Neither do I.
I mean, you know, the Saints are coming off a tough loss to the Niners. They got pounded in that game. And that was a hard-hitting game.
Yeah.
On the side of the Niners, anyway. A lot of Saints getting up limping and, you know, a lot of little injuries here and there. They're going to be kind of wounded going into this one against Atlanta. I'm going to go with the Falcons here, Bill. I think that they're going to kind of finally put an end to the Saints' comeback season. I'm going to go with the Falcons, but I'm not feeling real confident about it. What say you, Mr. Bill?
I think the edge goes to Atlanta. They're playing in the Georgia Dome. Matt Ryan typically plays very well there. Rarely does Matt Ryan lose when he's playing at home.
KC's upset pick of the week right here, Saints.
Really?
Got to chime in. I'm feeling strong about it. I think Atlanta's
You're
a fraud.
You're feeling strong?
I think they're a fraud.
Well, we've been talking about the Falcons being a fraud. We know.
And I think New Orleans, sorry to interrupt you, Todd. I think New Orleans has everything to play for tonight. I think this is it. This is it for them. This is the last stand right here. And I think that they can at least cover, what is it, 3.5? If you're going by the spread, I think they can at least cover 3.5. If you look at Atlanta, they have a history of letting bad teams stay close. I think they beat Carolina by 2. They beat Oakland by a field goal.
Yeah, every game's close with them.
Yeah, so I'm feeling strong about the Saints tonight, boys. That's all I got. I won't interrupt again, I promise.
I don't know, man. They'd have to sweep them.
I know. I feel something, I don't know. I spent a lot of research on this today for the Pick'em Pool.
You did.
And I just, something inside of me just came up and was like, okay, the Saints are going to make a statement tonight.
There you go, Bill.
All right.
Kevin's feeling pretty confident about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I'm going to put a 50 burger on it.
A 50 burger? What is that?
50 burger. You never heard of that?
No.
Use it on SportsCenter all the time.
Is that a $50 burger?
No, $50. Or it's $51 burgers.
I never heard of that phrase. Have you heard of that, Todd?
I've heard.
You get a lot of junior bacon cheeseburgers with that. If you win, you could feed yourself for like a year.
Let's move on to the Sunday games. We're talking about friggin' cheeseburgers over here that cost a buck. Sunday games. Jacksonville and Buffalo. A lot of Buffalo wings up in Buffalo. I don't know about dollar burgers, though. What do you make of this game? Not a very exciting game. Two of the worst teams in football, Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Buffalo Bills.
What do I make of this game, Bill?
You're not going to watch it?
I'm not going to watch this game. No. Sorry. I mean, one of these teams will be in Los Angeles in a couple years, right?
Or Canada.
They should have a play-in or a play-out, however you want to phrase it. The loser goes to L.A. or the winner goes to L.A., whatever the owner wants to do.
You got to feel that the Buffalo fan base is a little bit stronger than those in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Yeah. Right. I mean, I'd much rather see the Jaguars go to L.A. than Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know? Like you said, there's some good fans up there in Buffalo. There's no fans in Jacksonville. None. Right?
I don't think so.
We already laid out the blueprint for what the Jags have to do. Remember, last week or 2 weeks ago, they're going to hire Chip Kelly from Oregon, the head coach.
They're going to
get Tebow, Mike Vick, and Colin Klein from Kansas State. They're going to have three running quarterbacks, and they're just going to run Chip Kelly's offense in the NFL until all three quarterbacks drop dead.
That's it.
They're going to sell a bunch of tickets doing that. That's their only hope.
There you go.
Right?
I think that would work.
What else? That's the blueprint. What else can they possibly do in Jacksonville to pique anyone's interest?
They should hire us in their marketing general manager position. We'd be great.
Are you watching this game? What's your take on this?
I am not going to watch this game other than CJ Spiller. I hope he goes off having my Dynasty League. Very important win. I'm trying to lock in that first round bye. Cecil Shorts, Justin Blackmon were held out of practice today. Not really sure if that matters for the Jags. No MJD still. No Jalen Parmalee. It's going to be Rashad Jennings in their backfield. I think Buffalo wins. I think they actually win by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take Buffalo in this one, too. How can you ever pick the Jags to win anything?
No, you can't. How about the Seattle Seahawks playing against the Chicago Bears? Boy, what a difference Jay Cutler makes. Say what you want about how he carries himself in front of the media, but this team is totally different when Jay Cutler is under center for the Bears. He looked great. Brandon Marshall looked great. Now they're playing the Seattle Seahawks, who aren't very good on the road. We just saw them lose to the Miami Dolphins. We think the Chicago Bears keep their energy going into Week 13 and take down the Seahawks?
It's in Chicago. You know, like we said, you know, it's tough to win in Seattle. This game is not in Seattle. And you're right. How about it with Jay Cutler? There was actually an article, Bill, on footballnation.com this week. It was the NFL's top 10 most valuable players to their team.
Yeah.
Okay? And the author, Raphael Haynes, had Jay Cutler number 2.
Wow.
Number 2.
Wow.
He writes that the Bears are 1-6 in Jay's absence over the past 2 seasons, and when he is there, they're 15-5.
Huh.
Okay. 15-5 versus 1-6. So whether you agree with or disagree with him, Cutler definitely makes a difference there in Chicago. So I'll take the Bears to win this one. But hey, man, Seattle lost a game they probably should have won last week against the Dolphins. They need to win this game to stay in that playoff hunt.
They do need to win. Doesn't mean they're going to. I'm taking the Bears.
Right.
How about San Francisco 49ers against the Rams? We have an NFC West matchup in this game.
Colin Kaepernick looking awfully dangerous there for the
Niners.
Now,
what do you think about Harbaugh naming him the quarterback, the starter?
Oh, I think it's a really ballsy move, man. Big time. We talked about this a little bit last week, right? Basically, you know, the Niners are one of the top seeds in the NFC.
Yes, they are.
And they got Super Bowl aspirations, obviously.
Right.
So why, you know, rock the boat? You got a serviceable, manageable, you know, kind of quarterback in there. And Alex Smith, who's, you know, he's not spectacular, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, or he hasn't since, you know, the last couple seasons. And what you're doing here is you're definitely putting a guy in there that has a lot more upside, but he also has a lot of downside. He's a rookie, or a second year. He's basically a rookie. He's a second year player. Interesting play. I just think that it's it could come back to haunt them. If he truly is going to do this through the playoffs, Bill, I think this will, you know, I don't think Kaepernick's going to lead them to the Super Bowl, put it that way.
So even though Kaepernick has been playing well,
yes,
you think the better move is to stick with Smith because it keeps that chemistry alive going into their postseason.
I think what he's doing, this is my total guess on this, I think by the time the playoffs roll around, he'll go back to a Smith.
Really?
Yep, that's my gut feeling. I mean, if they want to win the Super Bowl, win it. They need. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I think that they need to go with Alex Smith. Once these other teams start getting some film on Kaepernick, Bill, you know, they're gonna find ways to slow him down a little bit.
Remember
Mike Vick with the Eagles? That one year he just went crazy in that offense.
Yeah.
The next season, you know, for multiple reasons, but everyone had film on him. They knew how to stop him. And,
same thing with Cam Newton this year.
Cam Newton this year, you know, the running quarterback here. Same thing will happen to RG3 next year too, but. Kaepernick, I like Kaepernick, and I think he's the future of the franchise, but to make a move like this in the middle of the season is awfully strange.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when they were winning. It's not like they were losing.
Yeah.
I mean, it did come off the heels of an injury, but at the same time, Smith is ready to play, but they're still sticking with Kaepernick to back up.
No, I think he'll play Kaepernick here for another week or two or whatever, but I think by the time the playoffs roll around, they'll put Smith back in there, and then he'll be able to go to both in the playoffs, and he'll probably have a few more packages for Kaepernick. You know, and that's what they'll probably try to do in the playoffs. So,
all right, I'll go for this game. Win, loss, or tie?
For this game?
Yeah.
I don't predict another tie.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think that the Niners go in there and take care of business. Win handily.
All right, we already previewed the Patriots at Miami game, so we'll skip over that. How about the Arizona Cardinals playing against the New York Jets? And the Jets fan base is just falling apart. Fireman Ed retired from his fake job that I don't even know if he ever really had the job, but he retired from it doing that stupid J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets chant. Thank God I don't have to see him on TV anymore. I hope he's done forever. He can still go to the games, but I don't want to see him anymore. It's getting ridiculous. Fireman Ed.
Well, how do you really feel, Bill?
That's exactly how I feel.
You know, what a terrible game this is. This is the Cardinals. Who are they gonna? Are they gonna trot out Ryan Lindley out there again?
I don't know what's going on with Ken Whisenhunt. I used to think he was a good coach until this season.
I mean, I don't know. This is a terrible game. The Cardinals started out 4-0, Bill. They've lost 7 in a row. They're 4-7. Call it 8. They're on the road. They got to go east. They don't want any part of this road trip. The Jets win a really ugly one, 8-7. How about that for a prediction?
Yeah, I think the Jets
win. You like that?
I do like that one. I think the Jets win as well. Cardinals just don't have a whole lot going on right now.
Did you see the clip on coldhardfootballfacts.com, Kerry Burns' website? It was a clip of all the Jets' misfortune over the past couple of weeks set to circus music.
No.
It's pretty good. Just all the fumbles and bobbles. And
oh, yeah, from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, I saw it.
Good stuff.
All right, how about an interesting matchup for the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Detroit Lions? Now, the Lions lost at home on Thanksgiving. The Colts are on quite the streak the last couple games. What did they win, 4 of the last 5 games? One loss coming against the Patriots. What do you make of this game? Colts versus Lions.
Tough one to call. I think that there's a little bit of groundswell support in the nation for the Colts, right? Mm-hmm. Playing for their coach. They got a fun rookie quarterback to watch. And they're 7-4. And right now, they've kind of entrenched as a playoff, seed. They're in that 5 spot right now in the AFC. And, obviously every game is huge for them. Detroit, on the other hand, man, they got hosed last week, Thanksgiving.
They did.
They really got hosed in that game. And that game pretty much puts them out of it. They're 4-7. Sue is kicking people again.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? He didn't get suspended. Did you think he was going to get suspended for a game?
Well, he got a fine, right? $30,000
fine. But he didn't get a suspension.
I don't know how that works. I mean, if he got fined, that clearly means the league thinks he did something that he shouldn't have done. Now, this is his second time of doing something that he shouldn't be doing. I think that usually, typically, by the rules, results in some kind of suspension. Am I wrong about that?
I was surprised. I thought they were going to give him a one gamer. But they didn't. So,
no, they didn't.
Hey, Detroit is 4-7. They have to win out now. Just for a chance to go 9-7 and, hopefully win some sort of tiebreaker to get into a wild card there. So Detroit, that game really killed their season. They're at home against the Colts. You know what? I have a weird feeling, Bill, despite everything I just said, that Detroit's going to pull out a win over the Colts.
Really? See, I don't think so. This is my upset of the week only because I think the Lions are favored because they're home. I think the Colts win this one.
Okay. I'm rooting for the Colts. The Colts, like I said, they're a fun team. I'd like to see what they can do in the playoffs. I told you, it's a destiny matchup. Luck versus Peyton Manning somewhere in the playoffs. It's going to happen.
All right, now how about we move on to an NFC North battle with the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. We just discussed how the Lions are pretty much out of it, but the Vikings and Packers, they're still very much in it, especially the Packers, even though they just lost to the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Packers still are in the playoffs as it currently stands, and we'll do our playoff update a little bit later in the show. But right now, Minnesota Vikings versus Green Bay Packers in Week 13. You think Aaron Rodgers and company, Todd, they get things going here?
Only because they're at home, yes.
Okay.
Look at the records, Bill. At home, the Packers are 4-1.
Yep.
Minnesota on the road, 1-4.
There you go. Okay.
They got to go to Lambeau. Tell me. Yeah, they got to go to Lambeau. The Packers are coming off their worst performance of the year. And, yeah, it's a scary performance. If you're a Packers fan, I mean, that was ugly. That was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
And that's a team, the Giants, that they're probably going to have to face again in January. And they just couldn't get anything done. The offensive line was a sieve. They just looked terrible. So this is a huge game. Obviously, if the Vikings win, they're both 7-5. but I can't see that happening. I think the Packers win one at home, go to 8-4, and put the Vikings on the brink of playoff extinction.
I agree. I think the Packers beat the Vikings in that one. And from the NFC North, we go down to the AFC South. Houston Texans taking on the Tennessee Titans. And if the Texans don't win this game, I may stop watching football. The Titans, they just have nothing to offer at this point.
No, the Titans are 4-7, though, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
They've won four games.
Please.
Hey, listen, look at this, man. The last couple of weeks, the Texans haven't exactly set the world on fire. They should have lost to Detroit. They got the benefit of that ridiculous call, right?
Yeah.
And the week before that, they beat Jacksonville in overtime. Jacksonville in overtime, Bill.
Yeah, that game was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Schaub had to throw for 500 yards to win.
So they're not exactly, turning it on here. Kind of like the Patriots are starting to improve. Texans are kind of floundering a little bit. Still winning the games. That's great. They go on the road to Tennessee here. Yeah, I think I can't pick the Titans to win the game.
Titans lost to the Jaguars last week.
I know. Well, the Jaguars were up. How many points were they up on the Texans a couple weeks ago? They were up huge.
I think it was
like
10 points. Yeah, 10 points going into the fourth.
10, that was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. It was 34-20 in the fourth quarter.
So how much is that?
14.
Oh. 14 points.
They're up 14 with 5 minutes left. And then the Texans rallied. But I think it's going to be a closer game than expected, but the Texans win. All right?
I think the Texans win, and I really don't think the Titans have a chance. How about Carolina playing against the Kansas City Chiefs? This is the battle of one of the two worst teams in the NFL. Carolina looked good on Monday night against the Eagles, but it was against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Now they're playing against the Chiefs, who really haven't had their quarterback situation figured out. What do you make of the Panthers versus the Chiefs?
You know, here's how I make of this. I mean, Cam Newton, he seems like the kind of player, Bill, that's going to have good games when it doesn't matter. Doesn't he seem like that kind of guy? He has kind of a fakeness about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him against the Eagles. He's scoring touchdowns, and he's, like, doing all these Superman things and getting the ball and throwing it in the stands. And
yeah.
I'm like, dude, your team is 3-8 or 2-8 at the time. Like, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that this game means absolutely nothing other than draft position in April. And he'll probably have another big game. And this team will go to 4-8, and no one will care. The Chiefs are just terrible, Bill.
They're so bad.
Yeah. So give me Carolina on the road in this one.
I agree. Carolina on the road sounds good to me. Any team over the Chiefs, whether it's home, on the road, in outer space, I'm taking that team that's playing against the Chiefs. How about – I love this matchup, the next one we're going to talk about. Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Denver Broncos. How about the Bucs? Feel-good story of the NFL this year.
I love this game.
Yeah.
This is a great game for a number of reasons. If you want to go to the, fantasy football-wise, there's a lot of, interest there. If you want to go playoff positioning, there's obviously a lot of interest there.
Yeah.
All of Patriot Nation is going to be rooting for the Bucs to go
absolutely
and take down the Broncos. Very possible. I'm going to call for the upset here, Bill.
Really? You're going to go with Tampa Bay over Denver.
I'm going to call for a little slip here by the Broncos.
I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to seeing Doug Martin. I'm looking forward to see Peyton Manning. But I don't think the Bucs will have enough to overtake the Broncos at home. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
The last 2 weeks, Bill, the Broncos against San Diego and Kansas City, they won each game by a touchdown. Not impressive
at all. Close games.
Eventually you play a close game against a team that can score. Those teams can't score. Tampa Bay can score. Doug Martin, Freeman, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, they can score points. So how about Dallas Clark? He caused a few problems for the Patriots back in the 2000s,
sure
right?
Sure did, yeah.
Now he's back. So look for a little Dallas Clark action here to take down the Broncos. I'm calling for the upset. Upset special right there. Even though it's in Denver, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
I'm sticking with the home team on that one, Broncos, in a close, very close game. Next game, Cleveland Browns versus the Oakland Raiders. I don't know if we even want to discuss this one. Just give me a quick prediction.
Browns.
Browns, I'll go with Raiders just because they're playing at the Black Hole, and I think Oakland's a little bit better there at home. How about San Diego Chargers versus the Cincinnati Bengals? This one's in San Diego.
Yeah. Bengals have lots to play for here, bro. Do you trust them?
And they've been playing
all?
Really well the last couple of games. What are they on, a three-game winning streak?
Three-game winning streak, and yeah. Unlike the Broncos, they're winning big, Bill.
Yeah, they are.
They beat the Giants by 18. They beat the Chiefs by 22. They beat the Raiders by 24. They're playing great.
And you know what? The next couple of games, their next three games, they don't play a team with a winning record. They play the Chargers in Week 13, Cowboys at 5-6, and the Eagles at 3-8.
Yeah, maybe. You know, Bill, you predicted the Bengals were going to start off the season 7-0.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll win 7 in a row here in the end of the season.
There you go.
All right, make you look half smart.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Thanks.
I'll take the Bengals here.
Yeah, I like the Bengals.
I think they're playing well, and I'll take them.
All right, now we don't know if Big Ben Roethlisberger will be starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but here we are, AFC North battle, Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Baltimore Ravens. Now, these two teams just played 2 weeks ago. Surprised they scheduled the game so closely, but it is what it is. I think the Ravens win this one at home, especially without Big Ben under center.
If Big Ben's not in the game, this is a blowout. I mean, Charlie Batch, give me a break. Really, that's the best you can do? I mean, I know he's a third stringer, but, you know, there's got to be someone floating out there that's better than Charlie Batch. So that's the X factor. But I'm not, you know, something tells me Big Ben's going to try to make it back for this. I said this earlier in the week. I don't know why. Forget all the reports. Big Ben, I mean, this is a game they have to have.
Yeah, they have to win this one.
Yep. I mean, kind of. Well, I guess they don't have to. But I don't know, man. I just have a weird feeling Big Ben's going to try to stick it through and try to do something and get out there on the field. We'll see.
Sunday night game, we have an NFC East battle. Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles just look absolutely horrendous on Monday night. Dallas Cowboys didn't look any better on Thanksgiving, but of the two bad teams, I'm going to get the edge to the Cowboys in this one.
Totally agree. The Eagles, hard to believe, but right now, if the draft were today, they'd have the third pick.
Wow. Wow.
It's amazing, huh? So, yeah, I will go with the Cowboys. I agree with you. The Cowboys are not anything special, but they're good enough to beat the Eagles, and they will get it done at home, and they'll go to 6-6 and keep their playoff hopes alive.
All right, before we get to Chris in Connecticut on the phone line, we just want to cover this last game in Week 13. It's Monday Nighter, Giants versus Redskins, another NFC East battle. And I think the Redskins are going to beat the Giants in this one. They beat them twice last year, the Redskins over the Giants. And they almost beat them earlier in this season. The Redskins, for whatever reason, I think they have the Giants number. I'm going here with Washington.
I can see why you're going to, you know, you're going in that direction, but I'm going to go with the Giants here. I think the Giants are going to start to roll here.
All right.
They took care of business against the Packers. And it's a dangerous game, and there's a lot to play for the Redskins, but I think the Giants start to roll here as we move into December.
All right, if you want to talk about the Patriots versus Dolphins upcoming matchup, give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's where we go now to pick up Chris in Connecticut, who wants to talk about this game. What's going on, Chris? Thanks for calling into Football Nation.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What you got for us, man?
Listen, I'm a diehard Patriots fan ever since I moved to this country in 1992 and I went to school in Boston.
Where'd you move from?
Pardon me?
Where did you move from?
Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica, man. I like it down
and
there.
I want you guys to know that Patriots is Jamaica team. Cause
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because
why
Patrick
is that?
Chung.
Why is that?
Because of Chung, Patrick Chung.
Oh, Patrick Chung, of course.
Oh, yeah. All of Jamaica root for the Patriots.
But really?
Well, listen, I want you guys to know about the Dolphin games. I'm more worried about the Dolphins than Houston because as a Patriots fan, I'm brainwashed by Belichick, and I'm never going to look past any team.
Okay.
And this could be a trap game for us, and Brady never played well down there in December. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yep.
But with Houston, if we could shut down Larry Fitzgerald. If we shut down Johnson, who's going to beat us? The running back?
But, no, Chris, this is what I'm saying. You say that you're not looking past the Miami Dolphins, but here you are calling in worried about the Houston Texans and Andre Johnson.
I'm not worried about them.
Oh, you're not worried about them?
No.
All right.
I'm not. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm worried about the Finns.
Oh, you're worried about the Finns. But you're worried about Brian Hartline and Devon Best, but not Andre Johnson?
Exactly. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, honestly, I'm not. The only reason I'm worrying about Houston, look, shout out Andre Johnson. Who's going to beat us?
Arian Foster.
Arian Foster.
Their defense.
Oh, Arian Foster?
J.J. Watt.
Listen, Brandon Spence is going to knock Arian Foster out, and J.J. Watt's not going to have not even a sack or a hurry up on Brady.
No, none of that. No sack and no hurry up on Tom Brady.
None of that.
Oh, wow. That's a bold prediction, my friend.
Yes, it is, buddy. We're going to blow them out.
All right, but what about the Dolphins? What worries you about the Dolphins other than trends? I don't want to hear about trends. Trends to me are ridiculous.
Listen, what I'm worried about the Dolphins, they're unpredictable. You know what I mean? There's no one from there other than Best. You could say, okay, I'm going to shut down Best. But then they have all these other loose guys on the field and the conditioning. We're going down there in 80 degrees weather where we're used to playing in the cold right now. I don't know. I just don't like the feel of this game for some reason.
Now, when you say unpredictable, I agree. You never know if Ryan Tannehill is going to throw two interceptions or five interceptions. Could be either one. But to me, the Dolphins, they just don't. If you're the New England Patriots, you have to be looking at this game and saying, listen, we just have to do our jobs and we'll be fine. You can't be worried about this team. Reggie Bush is no longer a viable every down running back in the NFL. Their defense is good, but the Patriots offense firing on all cylinders. They are lights out right now. 37 points per game. Let's get it going. Be honest here. Dolphins should pose no problems for the Patriots this weekend.
I'm
kind of siding with the caller. I said I think the Patriots are going to pull it out. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be ugly.
They're going to. I'm feeling too.
I think the Dolphins are going to make this an ugly game. I mean, look, like we said before, Bill and Kevin chimed in. Now, if the Dolphins turn the ball over three times, then it's, you know, lights out. Forget about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. The Patriots are kind of due for one of these games. And I'm not going to predict the upset. But, I mean, Chris, do you think they're going to lose or do you think it's going to just be an ugly win?
I think it's going to be an ugly win. We're due for one of those stumble games before we go into a major game. Always happen. And they were like, oh, Patriots don't lose two in a row. And then we're going to blow out Houston. You know what I mean? That's how I'm feeling about this.
I side with you on the first part of that, Bill. See? I mean, there's some Patriots that are worried out there, Bill, about this week.
I don't buy into it. Chris, if Usain Bolt could play in the NFL, what team would he want to play for?
That's the only team he'd play for.
What? What team?
He said he'll only play for Bill Belichick.
Really? He came out and said that, huh?
Believe me, Patriot, Jamaica. Definitely,
a
Patriot Nation.
I never knew that. I never knew the Patriots were so big down in Jamaica. Is that where the cheerleaders went for their calendar this year? I think it is, actually.
Oh, yeah. They went
I think they went down to Jamaica for their calendar shoot.
Yes, they went to beaches and ultras.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Believe it. Patriots team, baby. Jamaica, all the way.
All right. Chris in Connecticut via Jamaica thinks that the Dolphins are going to give some problems to the Patriots this weekend. Pretty interesting analysis there from our friend Chris.
I thought the Jamaica, you know, the Patriots are the team of Jamaica. It's pretty interesting due to Patrick Chung. Did you know that going into that call?
I did not know that Patrick Chung. I didn't know he was from Jamaica. No, I didn't know that.
Who knows? But that's interesting stuff. I'm telling you, Bill, I mean, you really think they're just going to just mow down the Dolphins, just another 40, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Well, you didn't give us your score prediction yet, by the way.
I think they score well over 30, and I don't think the Dolphins score more than 20.
So what are you saying, 35-20?
35-20, 35-19, 35-20. I'll give the Dolphins another 21 points. Yeah, that's it. That's all they're getting.
All right. Now, if Chris proves to be true, and myself, actually, and that's an ugly win. You know, I said 26-21, ugly. How would you take the next week against the Texans? Do you think that they would come back out gangbusters, like Chris says, and blow them out? Or do you think that would be a tough game?
I think you said it before, Todd. The Texans have been struggling a little bit. Let's see what they can do against a pretty good, a really good team compared to some of the bad teams that they've been playing.
All right.
I'm more worried about the 49ers than the Texans.
That's the game I would be worried about.
Yeah, I think the Patriots, I mean, probably sound like a total blowhard, but I think they're going to beat Miami easily, and I don't think they're going to blow Houston out, but I don't think the game is going to be in doubt in the fourth quarter.
Something happens to Wade Phillips' defense during December, late in the year. I don't know what it is, but they just stop playing the way they have been playing. Maybe teams figure him out. I don't know what's going on. But I think the Patriots take it to the Dolphins. I think they take it to the Texans. And then that Niner game is going to be the hardest of the three.
And so you got J.J. Watt, major factor, right? So yeah. So let's think about this for a sec. So they lost, what is it, Cushing, who's probably their second best defensive player?
Yeah, right. Brian Cushing.
And then didn't Brooks Reed like tear his groin or something on Thanksgiving?
Yep.
It looked awful.
Yeah.
So and then they had the cornerback who's nicked up. Was it Joseph?
Jonathan.
So
Joseph,
they're dealing with a lot on that defensive side of the ball, and they gave up like 30 plus points to Jacksonville. They gave up 30 plus points to Detroit. That defense doesn't strike fear into my heart anymore. So that's why I'm saying that I think, you know, that 49ers defense, you watch them play in New Orleans last week, and, you know, two pick sixes against Breeze is no easy feat. So that defense definitely strikes fear into my heart more than Houston.
Well, we're going to see, man. Where do you see – I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here. Kevin, where do you see the Patriots winding up here? Number two seed then? Do you think they're going to just roll here?
I think
well, if they beat the Texans, that'll get the Texans their second loss of the year.
Yeah, they still need to lose again and the Patriots to win out.
Right.
Just to – because they need to tie them. And
they
then,
play the Colts twice.
Yeah,
want to do the updated playoff picture real quick?
Yeah, go for
it. Sneak it in here?
Yeah, sneak it in since we're on topic.
Right now, AFC, Houston Texans are 10-1. They have the first seed. Baltimore Ravens, 9-2. They have the second seed. The Pats are at 3 with an 8-3 record. Denver Broncos, 4th seed, 8-3 record. Indianapolis Colts have the wild card spot. They're 7-4 with the 5th seed, scheduled to play against the Broncos. Pittsburgh Steelers, 6-5 with the 6th seed,
yep,
scheduled to play against the
Hurting
Patriots.
For certain, yeah.
On the bubble, Cincinnati Bengals, Miami Dolphins, and then I guess you can go to the Chargers and Titans.
So of all those teams that I don't want to play,
yeah,
I don't want to play Denver.
Really? Even though you guys crushed them earlier?
No, I don't want to play Denver. They look good.
Would rather play the Ravens or the Steelers?
I absolutely would rather play.
You would rather play the Houston Texans over the Denver Broncos?
Absolutely. I don't know. And I guess we'll see how this bears out. This, you know, Houston Patriots game will either make me look like an idiot or a genius. But I don't know. I'm not bought into Houston. To me, is the Atlanta of the AFC. I just haven't bought into them. And I think the Ravens are really banged up. And I don't think that they just don't seem like they're equipped to run away from anybody. And I don't know. I think. Either one of those teams, both of their defenses, for as good as they're billed to be, I think they're going to have serious problems stopping the Patriots. And I don't think that their offenses can keep up.
Well, they're both injury-riddled defenses.
No doubt about it.
So you got a point there.
Yep.
Man, the Patriots really could use, this is stating the obvious, they could really use that bye week, man.
No, they absolutely could, Todd. But I think what you have to look at, and this is all off the top of my head, but you got Baltimore this week. Who they have this week again?
Ravens play the Steelers.
The Steelers, okay. And then they have, I think they play the Giants.
Yep.
They play at Cincy.
Steelers, Redskins, Broncos, Giants, Bengals.
All arguably order. Quality teams, right?
All dangerous games. Yeah.
All teams probably that are above 500, right?
Redskins are not.
Oh, Redskins. Yeah, but they're probably going to be, I mean, what are they, 5-6?
The Ravens can clinch the playoff berth with a win this weekend and a Bengals loss and a Dolphins tie if they tied this division.
Yeah, and the Patriots can cinch up the division with a win.
Yep.
All they have to do is win. The Patriots win the AFC East title
with a win, which is kind of crazy because it's kind of early.
How many times have they won the AFC East title in the last 12 years?
A lot.
10?
Yeah,
11?
A lot. In one of the years they lost was when Brady was
Matt
out,
and
they were
and
in a three-way tie, 11-5, brother, and they didn't make the playoffs.
11-5, yeah.
You imagine 11-5 not making the playoffs? It was ridiculous.
Right.
I was irate.
Imagine that.
I was an irate young man at that point.
I bet.
That's almost as ridiculous as a 9-7 team winning the Super Bowl.
Winning the Super Bowl,
yeah,
I know.
Exactly. But I just think it's tough for me to think that the Patriots are going to catch the Texans even if they beat them just because of who Houston plays. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a very good possibility that Baltimore can lose twice out of their next five games.
Right.
And it's just a matter of can the Patriots run the table, because it'll take, you know, Baltimore cooperating and going 3-2 in their last five, and the Patriots would have to go 5-0, which is a, you know, it's a daunting task, but you have, you know, arguably or unarguably probably the two most difficult games you have in prime time, in at home in the cold against one team that plays what in the Houston team plays indoors, and San Francisco is not exactly a cold weather climate.
Right.
And it's probably going to be, you know, 25, 30 degrees. Don't know if there's going to be precipitation or whatever. It's going to be nasty. It's not going to be fun. And then you go down to Jacksonville, and then you finish up with Miami at home and Miami up here in the cold. I just think that it's lined up, you know, pretty decently for them. I mean, I think if you gave me odds on them running the table, I'd say 60-40 that they can win out.
Okay.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
All right. So that's good for our bet, Kevin, because Todd thinks that they're going to lose one more game.
So you have a 60% chance of winning the bet.
I think that, in my mind, Todd, I think that, you know, we're a little bit better than a coin flip. I think if they had, you know, obviously not lost that Seattle game, I think that I would feel really, really good about my...
Guys, weird things happen in the NFL. Good teams lose to bad teams.
Understood.
That happens all the time.
Understood.
And they're going to stub their toe, man.
All right. And Todd, that's perfectly, that's the opinion that a lot of people have. And they may do it even more than once, you know? I mean, they certainly could do it more than once. It's just, I just see the way that they've been playing and the way that they've been blowing teams out the past two, three, four weeks, however long it's been. They just seem to have this sense of purpose and this focus. And that, you know, this no holds bar, take no prisoners attitude, that they're going to run it up on you. And it's something that I just haven't seen in a year or two. And I just have a good feeling about this team.
Well, here's the good news, Kevin. If you truly fear the Broncos.
I do. Okay? I fear their quarterback more than anybody else.
I understand. If that's truly your fear, then if the Patriots are the 3 seed, Broncos are the 4 seed, they can't play each other until the AFC title game.
Right.
No, and I mean, and if the as long as the, you know, if the Patriots were to have, you know, if the Patriots were to finish 3 and they were to finish 4, you know, obviously if they both were still alive at that round, Todd, that we would have home field, which would
right,
be huge.
Exactly.
Because weird things happen in Denver too, especially late in the year. But I think it's because, and Todd, I think I remember we had this argument about the whole Colts Patriots rivalry.
Right.
And about how I think Bill and I were on one side. Or,
no, you and I were on one side.
You and I were on one side, and Bill was on the other.
You two against me, like always.
Yeah, and
which
we had,
were so wrong, by the way.
But we had that argument, and it was just – I've just seen him in person in this stadium, you know, I've just – you know, just too many times. And I've seen him on TV, you know, in the RCA Dome in the old days too many times. And he just – you know, I think Bill, he's one of those guys, one of the – probably like one or two guys in the league that Bill is just petrified to punt to. Like, he just does not want to give him the ball. And I don't really blame him, considering what he's done against us, but he just strikes fear into my heart more
so.
But
you guys always beat him.
I wouldn't say we always beat him. There's been a lot of games that he's had it go his way. I mean,
I think
think we've had the majority. I'll give you that, but I think that he's won his fair share of games.
Not when the playoffs were on the line. Not when the Super Bowl was the next game. You guys really didn't lose.
Yeah,
a lot
but
of
we
games
lost. Was it the 08 or 06 or 08? We lost in
06
in Indy, and we blew a big lead. And he hit,
right,
you know,
that
just
was in 06.
Yeah, that was like one of the.
But
most
that was it. That's the only time it happened.
4th and 2.
But that's a regular season game.
I know, but that was a huge game though.
Oh my God! It's not a huge game. The huge games happen in the playoffs, and when you win the Super Bowls, at the end of the day, the Patriots had more Super Bowls than the Colts had, who were their biggest rivals during that time.
Agreed. I'll agree. I mean, Pittsburgh has certainly won their fair share too.
They have two.
I mean, more than the Colts.
And the Patriots weren't even involved in their playoff runs, I don't think.
No, they weren't. I mean, and a lot of people like were yakking about how that, you know. Those didn't mean anything, which I think is
the Steelers beat their playoff run.
I don't know.
Jets. The Bengals,
Cardinals, and Seahawks in their Super Bowl.
The thing that killed me about that Colts
in the playoffs.
The thing that killed me though, Bill, about that Colts AFC title game that we lost in Indy.
Yeah.
You know, you have it won, and you know you're playing the Bears, and you know that you're going to blow the Bears out.
Right.
And so, like, that's what hurt the most.
And then you open up the Super Bowl, and Devin Hester has a return for a touchdown.
Yeah, and the Colts still beat him pretty easy. And didn't the Colts go – did they go again and lose to
the Saints?
Yeah.
Onside
2 years later.
Yeah.
The onside kick
and
game.
And Tracy Porter with the big
– Yeah, the big six.
I mean, he's had plenty of success. I need to, you know, build his resume for him. But I'm just terrified of him. I don't know what it is, but I'm terrified of him.
He's a great quarterback. That's what it is.
And so I think, getting back to Todd's original question, where do I see them finishing? And I probably see them finishing third.
Okay. Now, who do you think's going to slide in? Do we think that the Colts are going to be in the playoffs now at this point?
Yes.
You think so? You think they're going to fall apart?
Listen, the Colts are 7-4, right? They're the fifth seed right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a sixth seed without their starting quarterback. They're 6-5. On the bubble, Bengals 6-5, Miami Dolphins 5-6. So the Colts would have to have an epic collapse to not make the playoffs.
Okay, so Colts, Steelers, Bengals, Dolphins, four teams, two spots. Who gets the two spots?
Colts and Steelers.
Okay, so Steelers hang on. Big Ben comes back.
Big Ben comes back,
final spot.
And it's really too bad because the Bengals have been playing great.
So you just dismiss the Bengals?
I do on the fact
weren't
that
they
Big
your
ben
Super
comes
Bowl
back.
Squad there, Billy?
No, Panthers. No?
He had Panthers.
But he had the Bengals like undefeated or something.
He had
like
them 7-0.
First seven games of the season, which was I'm telling you, look back at their opponents in the first seven games of the season, easily done. They easily could have did it.
But Bill, you did predict them to go 2-7 in the second half of the year too.
All right, so I had it reversed.
Okay. So I'm just thinking with the Bengals, Bill, look at their schedule here on out, okay? Tell me if these games are winnable or not. San Diego.
Win.
Dallas.
That's going to be tough.
At home. Dallas.
I'm going to give that one to Dallas.
At Philly.
Win.
At Pittsburgh.
Loss.
And home at Baltimore.
Loss.
Okay. So what did you just give them, 2-3 or 3-2?
I don't know.
Did you have beating
saying,
Dallas or
I was
not?
Just saying win or loss.
Did you have them beating Dallas or not?
Nah, losing to Dallas.
All right, so you're saying 2-3,
yeah.
Which makes them 8-8.
Right.
Okay.
Which is what I think I said what their record would have been.
All right. Steelers, well, I'll tell you what, that'd be a hell of a intriguing AFC. I mean, as bad as the AFC kind of was this year, guys, that'd be tremendous playoff matchups, man.
Yeah, it would be good. And Todd, you've been saying all year long that it's destiny for Peyton Manning to take on Andrew Luck in the playoffs, and right now that's what it's looking like it's happening.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
That'd
You've
be
been saying that all
man.
Year. It's destiny for them two to play.
Be a pants
so
tent
far, it's
Todd.
Coming true. Coming true.
Kevin always Kevin has such a dirty mind.
I didn't hear what he said.
Don't even ask him to repeat it.
All right, coming up, Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football.
Pitching a tent back there.
Coming up, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us to dive a bit deeper into some of these games for Week 13. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Football Nation, there is no off-season.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts is our special guest every week here on Football Nation. Kerry, you can listen to your show every Wednesday right here on Patriots.com Radio from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, you can catch the on-demand version via iTunes or the Patriots mobile app. Kerry, you're recovering all right from your Thanksgiving festivities?
I am the perpetual motion machine, nonstop, crunching stats, celebrating Thanksgiving, celebrating what we call the pigskin high holidays this time of year. And, of course, it's a pleasure to be on with Bill Enright and Todd DeVries, the dynamic duo of Football Nation.
Yes, Bill is the Robin to my Batman.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone listening to the show thinks that.
Does he have the
pajamas,
Todd?
That's
the new Football Nation Friday attire.
What, Batman pajamas?
Or Robin, whatever it takes.
So
that was great. How about you guys? How'd your holiday go? I assume it went well. Plenty of football.
Doing well. We weren't tapping beer kegs at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning like you were.
Well, you know what? Besides doing football, guys, besides being the self-proclaimed potentate of pigskin, we celebrate the gridiron lifestyle. Beer, food, football, we do it all. And, I have a reputation to uphold. And what we're part of that is the Pigskin Gala. It's our big celebration we have before the big North Quincy Thanksgiving Day football game. They had their 80th annual meeting this Thanksgiving. They've been meeting every Thanksgiving since the Great Depression. Special anniversary jerseys and everything this season for both teams. And we have a big tailgate. Kickoff is always at 10 a.m. And we have a big tailgate before that. Tens of, if not probably hundreds of thousands of people around Massachusetts who go to the local high school football game on Thanksgiving. So it's really probably the best day of the year if you're a football fan. I truly love it.
At what time in your lives did you guys stop playing Thanksgiving football? In other words, you used to meet up at the park with your friends and you had a game. At what age did you guys call it quits? You know what? We're too old for this.
About the time we started tapping a keg at 6 o'clock in the morning, Bill.
I still do it, guys. I'm 27 and I do it. I just couldn't make it.
You still play, Kev?
Yeah, just this year I had to send the RSVP via Facebook that I couldn't make it. It was a pain.
You were in New York.
Yeah, so I would have been there, but I heard the game was a real bloodbath. But
what's your school, Kevin? Where'd you go?
I went to Plymouth North.
That's
and so
right.
It's North versus South, and I think South is involved, Kerry, in this big Natick controversy that happened today. There was like Natick High School is in the one of the Super Bowls,
yep,
and they're playing Plymouth South, and like Natick got accused of cheating somehow. I don't know what it was. I just saw it in the paper.
Oh well, the big controversy up here is that we don't have playoffs really like they do in other states, because of Thanksgiving football. And they're trying to jerry-rig a playoff system around Thanksgiving football because you can't get rid of Thanksgiving football. I mean, that would be like ending Thanksgiving in the eyes of lots of people up here. And so they're trying to like jerry-rig a playoff system. So that's a big controversy too. I didn't know about the
the Plymouth South Natick one. But
yeah, it's a big controversy that Natick was somehow using, like, they were doctoring their footballs or, like, using balls that weren't authorized by the MIAA, something like that.
You know, I saw something.
Really?
I had the TV, the sound off when I was crunching stats today. That was in Massachusetts. I thought it was some, like, national thing.
It's a big deal. I guess that Plymouth South was being encouraged by other members of that league to boycott the Super Bowl.
But what purpose would that serve? You're ruining the kids' experience.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's definitely
that's adults messing with.
Yeah, it's definitely a big story that was in the Globe and the Herald, and I know the ESPN Boston high school kids were talking about it. It's got the place abuzz. But I still play in that backyard brawl style game, Bill.
Yep. I had to give that one up.
Couldn't take the old body. Couldn't
take it. Too much of a toll.
Yeah, we gave that up quite some time ago. It's too much, man. So I'm not the perpetual motion machine I claim to be. I apparently am slowing down in my advanced geriatric age here.
I can do like a pickup game of basketball. I can't do football anymore, even if it's only two hand touch.
Totally agree.
Ends up getting way too physical.
By the time you get to like late 20s, 30, it's just too
because you still get the piss and vinegar, right? You still, your adrenaline gets going, and then you realize it's what's that old line? The Toby Keith song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. You know, you still feel you got it, but you really don't, you know?
Right.
So let's talk some football here. What's the big
I thought we are talking
that?
Football. We're just talking professional.
NFL. I don't think people, care about our high school.
You'd be surprised how much people want to hear about our backyard football stories, Gary. But anyway, you're right. Some big movements in your coldhardfootballfacts.com power rankings.
Yep.
The mighty Texans, who really are we just bashed them in the last segment, are no longer numero uno. Now,
no.
The new team in your power rankings, it's not the Falcons. It's not the Patriots. It's the Broncos.
Well, to back up, I was listening to you guys earlier, and I know our great producer, Kevin Collins, was saying he fears the Broncos because of Peyton Manning, but that is not the reason to fear the Broncos.
Well, what is?
Not the reason they are number one in our all-powerful quality stats power rankings. The reason to fear the Broncos, guys, is not only do they have Peyton Manning, who's playing as good as ever, but right now they have the best defensive front in football, number one on the Cold Hard Football Facts Defensive Hog Index, the way we measure every defensive front in football. Now, that may just sound like some sort of ranking. Oh, yeah, we made up some numbers. No, we look at the stats of win and lose football games, and our defensive hog index, why it's so important. If you top that indicator, you pretty much go to the Super Bowl. Since we invented it, you're number one, you go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So when you're talking a Hall of Fame quarterback with what is right now the best defensive front in football, that is an almost unbeatable combination, and they've been getting better as we've been getting later in the season. This team looking good, looking scary, guys. That is a team I would fear right now if I'm a team in the AFC, or for that matter, if I'm whoever might meet them in the Super Bowl if they get that far. It's a very very imposing team right now because of the quarterback and because of that great defensive front that does everything well, including, by the way, number three, pressuring the passer. We find that when you get into the postseason, if you're very good at pressuring the passer, you win playoff games. So,
but, Kerry, doesn't it kind of work hand-in-hand? I mean, if Peyton Manning and the offense are getting the team out to a nice, comfortable lead, that's when they can let those defensive hogs loose.
We find no correlation with that, Todd. People try to make that connection, but some great quarterbacks, the Patriots never have that luxury, and they've had the best offense in football the last 5-6 years, four of the highest-scoring offenses in history. So we don't really see a correlation to that. It makes sense. It's a great, great conversation. And I think, kind of instinctively, but there's really, we see no connection between that. What we see is a very good defensive front in and of itself and a very good quarterback in and of himself. We look at these efficiency indicators that kind of live in their own vacuum because we don't want everything. You know what I mean? We want to be able to judge things on their own.
So where do you have the Patriots ranked?
What's that, Bill? I'm sorry?
Where do you have the Patriots ranked on your power rankings?
On our power rankings, they are number four right now.
All right. We have
three. Obviously, we know this story. Great offense, number one in our offense, not only number one in scoring, number one in our offensive efficiency, number one on our relativity index, which measures how well you perform relative to the quality of your opposition. They're the best in football. If you look at the way they beat teams and based on how those teams perform against other opponents, the Patriots are the best in football in that measure. And so that's very good, but, they do have those defensive weaknesses. But right now, and I wrote about it last week on Patriots.com, guys, on pace to score more points than any team in the history of football, and it's not even getting any attention nationally.
That's crazy.
That's a scary team too.
Now, when you say the Patriots are projected to what does it finish with the most points in NFL history?
Yep.
How does that stack up? What are they on pace for this year compared to what they did in 2007?
At the same time?
Yeah.
I assume I didn't compare that, but just based on my the fact that I sit here and do nothing but study football numbers all day.
Yeah.
The Patriots, the 2007 Patriots scored all their points early in the season and kind of slowed down later in the year. And the Patriots right now are getting hotter in more recent weeks. I'm assuming at the same point this team may be ahead. I don't know that. I don't really know, to be honest. But I know right now they're on pace to break that record. The reason I don't think they will is because of the two games against Houston and San Francisco, two of the best defenses in football. San Francisco, definitely the best defense in football. But you know what, guys? The way the Patriots are doing it, they're feasting on those turnovers. This team is sick at forcing turnovers. And when they force those, they don't lose games. In fact, I crunched the numbers for you guys before coming on. I'm going to pull them up right now. The Patriots, when they win the turnover battle under Bill Belichick, okay, just plus one or better. If they win the turnover battle, 115-10.
Wow.
That's 920, guys. For those
920. Now, what is the? Do you have the NFL average for that?
Yep, I have every team. They're actually third. The Ravens are number one, actually, at 99-7, 934. The Patriots, all the good teams, guys. It's the Ravens at 934, the Packers at 922, the Patriots at 920, the Steelers at 913, the Saints at 880, the Colts at 862. I mean, the good teams are taking advantage. But the key, guys, the Patriots have won the turnover battle 125 times, more than any other team. And what we've seen in recent weeks, you know, they're plus eight the last 2 weeks alone, plus 24 for the season. The number two team, Chicago, is plus 13. That's how they're just killing teams, forcing turnovers. And like a smart football team, good in situational football, taking advantage of those opportunities, like we saw in grand comedic style against the Jets on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, cue the circus music when you watch the highlights from that one.
Yeah, do you guys remember Benny Hill? Are you enough to remember the Benny Hill?
Yeah, I remember him.
His theme song. Somebody, we had the video up on Cold Hard. Somebody put the low lights, if you will, for the
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. It has a perfect keystone.
There it is.
Yeah, we used to do that for the Idiot Report. Same music.
Until Bill canceled it.
I didn't cancel it. I just kind of stopped.
Canceled my show.
They're showing the highlights again. They've just been nonstop Jets full life, if you will.
Kerry, if you had earlier in the show, we did a top 10 NFL jerseys, the highest selling jerseys from last April to today, and there's a new number one. I'm not going to ask you to guess who the number one is, but if you had a guess at what spot is Tom Brady on this list, where would you guess him? It's a top 10 list.
I would say five or six, seven.
Oh, very good guess. Number five.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reason why obviously he's popular, but you know what? He's not hot right now in terms of popularity. Like, you know, why is he not in the MVP discussion? You know what I mean? That to me is, you know, it's just, you know, storylines, what we do at Cold Hard Football Facts, we find when the stats conflict with the storylines. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because what happens is storylines take on a life of their own, and usually based on what happens early in the season. And the early storyline is, you know, Matt Ryan was the best quarterback in football.
Right.
So he's kind of his trophy to win or lose. And then, you know, Peyton Manning comes up a lot because the Broncos are better. And then, really, the great improvements in Denver have actually been on the defense, kind of an undertold story. But the Patriots right now, number one in real quarterback rating. Tom Brady has accounted for 27 touchdowns, guys, total touchdowns, passing and rushing, and three turnovers, fumbles and interceptions. 9-1 touchdown to turnover ratio, guys. I don't think that's never been seen in the history of football. He's leading the greatest offense, the greatest scoring machine in the history of football, for a team with no defense. I mean, he right now is probably, if you're looking at the numbers, the Cold Hard Football Facts, the MVP, and he's not even getting to talk about it because you know what? I think it's an old story. The Patriots have been so good so long. People want something new. They want Matt Ryan to win it. They want RG3 to be in the conversation. You know, I think there's a lot of that that goes around.
Totally agree. There's, you know, Patriot fatigue. I mean,
they've been
so good for over a decade. It's kind of like, I totally agree. Everyone, it's kind of like with Michael Jordan suffered the same type of thing in the NBA.
You expect greatness and it becomes blasé.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
You know, like we don't, when Bill's, you know, great now, we just roll with it. We expect it, you know?
Yeah, we want something fresh and new. It's definitely not Bill. Right?
But, you know, guys, those are some pretty amazing numbers. I mean, let's look at it. Okay, let's take the – and that's why I think, you know, there's obviously guys who are hotter and better stories who are ahead of – I assume RG3 is number one.
Yep,
and
number
one. Aaron Rodgers is two or three.
Three.
Peyton
yep.
Manning, number two.
Peyton Manning, two.
And let me guess, number four, Matt Ryan.
No, Ryan's not in the top ten.
Oh, really? Is it a quarterback or is it a running back?
Eli Manning.
Quarterback.
Eli Manning. So there you go. I mean, that makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense to me.
How about this one? Does this one make sense to you? Tim Tebow, number eight.
Yeah, because people love Tebow, dude. He transcended football. He is a pop culture icon. More than obviously, he's not even playing, but he's a pop culture icon. I mean, he is.
Plus, he changed teams. Oh boy. What is
that? Do you know Mr. Rogers was like a World War II veteran who was like wounded on Iwo Jima or something? It's like his arms were all mangled.
That was just kind of a whimsical tune because that's what I think of with, you know, Tebow. He is Mr. Rogers. He's just younger.
Hey, Mr. Rogers apparently was a pretty badass early in his younger days, apparently.
Was he?
I read that he was like a Marine in World War II. It was like his arms were mangled by bullets or a grenade or something. And that's why he always wore long sweaters because he had tattoos up and down his arms and stuff. Apparently it was like some trained killer when he was in the Marine Corps. True story.
I'm not buying into that.
Well, I'll just tell it. Well, let's put it this way. It's true in terms of that's what I've read. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, I might have read it in the National Enquirer for all I know.
We're busy Googling that one while you're speaking.
I am too, as we speak.
Says it's an urban legend.
What's that?
Urban legend? Is that what you said, Kevin?
Yeah, the first thing they came up was Mr. Rogers was a Marine sniper, like hyphen urban legend.
It doesn't say that? Okay. That's what, you hear that all the time, man. You hear that all the time. And I wasn't sure if it was true, but it's a good story.
We're all reading here.
I'm really trying to get to the bottom of this.
It says that it was
Terry's trying to ruin my childhood. It says by telling me Mr. Rogers was a trained killer and he was knocking off the puppets during the middle of the show.
It says that
by the way, the puppets on Mr. Rogers were the freakiest things in the world, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They weren't really like puppets. They were more like of a cloth with a piece of head, like some kind of head on it.
You know what? I don't like clowns. Clowns freak me out. I think it's from Poltergeist.
Do you guys like this guy?
Ah, are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Who doesn't love Fozzie Bear?
Yeah, I like Fozzie Bear.
But it says that Rogers
was... I like Waka Flocka Flame a little bit better, though.
Jeez. It says that he was an American educator, minister, songwriter, and television host. It doesn't fit the trained assassin, Bill.
Yeah, but that's what makes it a great story.
All right.
He was born in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, by the way. There's a home of...
It says that it's a rumor that he was a U.S. Navy SEAL.
Latrobe, Pennsylvania, the home of our Pittsburgh Steelers training camp, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You're both on the Google machine, aren't you?
No, I knew that. I mean, I know Latrobe.
No. I mean, Bill and Todd, I'm now the host of the show.
I'm reading about Mr. Rogers and how he was a sharpshooter, and he had 150 kills to his credit.
Oh, please.
What, playing Halo or something?
This show has really digressed. We've never taken – I mean, Fozzie Bear, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, that's okay. We have Frankie C on the Cold Hard Football Fact Show. We basically talk about his regretful exploits of his younger days. It's pretty sad.
Oh, remember, one of the things that popped up when I Googled him was remember that like little king puppet he had?
Yeah.
Oh, that's freaky looking.
That's what I'm talking about.
Freaky looking. I can't believe I used to watch that.
It's pretty rough. So – let me ask you guys, who do you like right now looking at the AFC, who's coming out and who's going to the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
Kevin, you go first. We know where you're going with this.
What, for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, who's going to represent the AFC in the
Patriots,
Super Bowl?
Of course. Naturally.
Okay.
No doubt.
I said the Patriots at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stick with them.
So did I.
But I also said the Carolina Panthers. I'm changing that decision.
Did you really say the Panthers?
Yeah, I did.
So then we had John Banks on yesterday, and he said he thinks Peter King had like Panthers winning the NFC South. Or
he
something.
Did actually. Peter King did have them because I remember thinking when I made my picks, and then I later on saw Peter King picks. I was like, oh, fuck, this is a look how smart I am. Peter King thinks the Panthers are winning too. I was so confident after that, and then I realized how bad they are.
Well, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. You know, I do the picks with the SI panel with Peter and all those guys, and a couple years ago, the Panthers. It might have been 2010, I'm not sure, 2009, whatever. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They went 2-14. So, you know, you sometimes you swing and you miss, guys, in this business, you know?
Like with the Bengals.
Yeah, like with Bill's Bengals prediction.
Hey, they're looking. Are they not looking good right now, though?
Were they 7-0 after seven games like you predicted?
No.
Well, that's what you get from Bill. You get bold predictions. You got to love it. And, you know, once every couple of years, one of them comes true. Right?
Listen, this is when my predictions come true. You know when my predictions come true? In the playoffs. Get ready for Football Nation in the playoffs because I am lights out. You're going to want to stick with me. You're going to want to listen to everything I have to say. The playoffs is really when the best comes out, best of Bill Enright comes out.
All right. So most of the season your record is not representative of your knowledge, but once the playoffs roll around, then you kick it in to high gear.
Right. Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
Playoffs?
All right, well, we'll hold you to that, man. We got a couple more weeks then to stink, and then you'll start getting good at this stuff.
Well, that's fine.
All right. All right.
All right, Kerry, anything else you want to touch on before we let you go?
No. I'll have a great piece tomorrow on Patriots.com about the importance of turnovers, what we talked about earlier, how important those are. It'll be some good stuff and how the Patriots are just feasting on them like perhaps no team in the history of football. It's if you love stats and you like the Patriots and you love football, it's going to be some great material.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And, again, you can listen to Kerry Byrne's show every Wednesday right here on Patriots.com radio from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, check out his stuff at coldhardfootballfacts.com. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us. Have a lot of fun in Week 13.
All right, gentlemen, keep it up. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. How about we just debunked the myth of Mr. Rogers crushing Kerry's hopes of...
Did he really think that was true? I mean, come on, man.
Sounded like he thought it was true.
There's no way.
No, just Google Mr. Rogers Marine Sniper.
Some of the pictures you get are hilarious.
I know, there's a lot of photoshopping going on.
Of him in like a Navy SEAL with the face paint and everything.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Photoshop experts that have... Oh, my. Whoa, look at that picture. Oh, that's pretty bad. It doesn't translate to radio, unfortunately. What do we want to hit next, guys? Do we want to, you know, we touched on the AFC.
Might as well do the NFC.
Right. You want to do the NFC playoff picture, guys?
I think that would only make sense.
All right. We got 10 minutes to kill, after all.
All right. So, well, here we go. NFC. You want to do it, Todd? Go ahead.
All right. I'll run it down. So, the Falcons are 10-1. They got the number one seed if it were to end today. Niners, the two seed, 8-2-1. And that tie, something tells me that tie is going to come in to play here. The third seeded Bears are 8-3. Giants are sitting there at 7-4. Packers are the fifth seed right now, 7-4. And the Seahawks right now have the sixth seed. They are 6-5. On the bubble, you got the Buccaneers 6-5, the Vikings 6-5, and then you got the Redskins and Cowboys at 5-6. So, you know, if you're looking at it like me, five of those teams, you just got to figure in there, right? We're really just talking about seeding and then that final spot. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
I mean, the Seahawks. Falcons, Niners, Bears, Giants, and Packers, they're going to be in.
I agree. And of those teams, to me, the Bears are the weakest, but that's besides the point.
Okay. But as far as who's in, who's out, those five are probably in. Right? Or wrong?
Right. I agree too, Todd.
I agree.
Okay, so then who do you think is going to be the sixth seed right now? You got the Seahawks, Buccaneers, and Vikings with the best chance, unless you think the Redskins and Cowboys get hot down the stretch. What do you think?
It's tough. I would love to see the Redskins make the playoffs.
I would too.
I think it's going to be the Bucs, though.
Be a great story to have RG3 in the playoffs.
I think it's going to be the Bucs.
I think it's going to be the Bucs.
Yeah.
Well, I have them upsetting Denver this week. That would certainly help their cause. The Bucs have at Denver, Philadelphia, that's definitely a win. They got to go to the Saints. They get the Rams and Falcons.
Right.
Not easy for the Bucs, right? I mean, 2-3 is a possibility there.
They have to play the Falcons again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Last game of the year on the road. Wow. They got to play the Falcons again.
You know, that could be one of those situations where if the Falcons take out their starters and then all of a sudden the Bucs squeak in and then they meet up in the playoffs and then they say, oh, wow, the Falcons let them in and here they are beating them. You know how that story goes.
Yeah, it could definitely come down to that.
Yeah.
So that's the Buccaneers, you're looking at probably 3-2 at best, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, which would give them 9-7. Vikings. Now, the Vikings have that huge game against the Packers this week. And, man, do they need that win. In Lambeau, I don't see it happening.
No way.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Their road is tough, guys. They got to play the Packers twice. They got to play the Bears, the Texans, and the Rams.
And to just look ahead too, Todd, the Cowboys as well as the Redskins both have tough schedules. So it's going to be like a winner by default.
The Cowboys don't have a tough schedule.
No?
Who are they playing?
The Cowboys are pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, they got a friggin' cakewalk.
They have Philly, but then they have at Cincy, which is tough. They have
I already gave them that win.
They have Pittsburgh, who I wouldn't consider a rollover.
No.
And they have New Orleans, who I wouldn't consider a rollover. And then they have to go to Washington.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I don't really think that's easy.
Only the Bengals and the Steelers have a winning record at this time of those four.
Sure, but I mean, I think that we can all agree that, I mean, I don't necessarily think the Saints are terrible.
Yeah, but the Saints and Skins are 5-6, so I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think those are terrible teams. Those are teams that are still in contention that may still be playing for something.
Are any of these teams that we think locked in, Giants, Packers, do we think they're going to fall out? Or the Bears, do we think they're going to fall out of playoff contention?
I don't think so.
As long as the Packers win this week, they'll be safe. The Packers win this week at 8-4.
Beat the Vikings.
Yeah, then they pad their lead over the Vikings by 2. They're safe. This is a huge game. Packers win this week. For all intents and purposes, I think they're in.
Giants have to play the Redskins, the Saints, the Falcons, the Ravens, and then the Eagles.
Yeah.
So two of the best teams in the NFL, the Giants still have to play them, Falcons and Ravens.
I mean, here's the deal, though. I mean, the Giants are going to get in because they're going to win their division. One team's coming out of that division, right?
What happened to the NFC East?
It's terrible. So I can't see the Redskins are really exciting, of course, but their defense is terrible. I can't see them getting hot and winning enough games down the stretch to catch the Giants. And then the Cowboys, same thing. I mean, the Cowboys they're really not a very good team. They're one of the worst 5-6 teams in the whole league. Now, they might win a couple of these games down the road, but, I mean, they have to go 4-1 pretty much, right?
Yes.
Not going to happen. So the Giants are going to be in. They're going to be in by default. They might only be 9-7, 10-6, whatever, but they'll be in. It's going to come down to that final spot. You're going to have Seattle. Who do you want to see?
You could legitimately have an 8-8 team get that last seed.
Yeah, you could easily.
Yeah, I would even wager to guess that the best record is going to be 9-7 that gets that.
It's so funny because at the beginning of the year we were all saying how bad the AFC was, and now they kind of caught up real quick.
Yeah, at the top.
At the top. The worst teams in the NFL are all in the AFC. Kansas City Chiefs, Jacksonville Jaguars, Cleveland Browns, all in the AFC. But the very top teams, they're good. Patriots, Ravens, Texans.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll be the first one to go out on a limb here, since we have to pick a team that's going to get the sixth seed, right?
Yep.
I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints get it.
Oh, wow. Well, you have them up winning this week.
I think they're going to beat Atlanta, they're going to lose to New York, and then they're going to beat Tampa, Dallas, and Carolina to end the season.
I'm looking at it here, guys. So what's the record then?
I think they'll be like 9-7 if they do that.
Saints be 9-7. I'm looking at Seattle, guys.
Yeah.
They are 6-5. They got to go to Chicago this week. Let's call that a loss, okay? 6-6. Then they got 3 out of the last 4 games are at home up there in Canada, in Seattle. And those 3 teams that travel there are Arizona, Rams, and 49ers.
Okay.
The road game is Buffalo. They could easily go 3-2 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
3-2 the rest of the way for them would be
9-7
as well.
I'm going out on a limb. That's all I'm saying. If you're forcing me to make a pick, and I'm making a pick.
So you'll be watching closely tonight to see if the Saints can keep it going. Well, hey, they'd be the most attractive. I guess you could argue the Redskins or Cowboys too in that sixth spot. I mean, the Seahawks don't do anything for me in the playoffs on the road as a sixth seed. That does nothing for me.
After the horrible start, they're 5-2 in their last 7. They're starting to round into form. They lost. There's no shame. I mean, you lose to San Francisco. It's not exactly like you're losing to a cupcake. And I mean, this is a tough stretch. San Francisco, Atlanta, New York, 3 quality teams. So, I don't know. I think if they can somehow finish 9-7, I like their odds.
I'm gonna say it stands pat. I think Seattle's gonna be the sixth seed, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Seattle stays with it.
They have the easiest path to go 9-7. And I think 9-7 gets you in there. Now I don't know what happens with all these, you know, crazy
tiebreakers.
Maybe we have to look closer at that next time. But
yeah, as we get closer, we can look at that.
Yeah, but right now I think that they have the easiest path of the five teams, or six teams if you want to include the Saints.
I think you're right, Todd. I'll agree with you. I think that's a good, safe, you know, sound pick. I don't know. Something's telling me that the Saints are rounding into form. I don't know what it is. And watch them lose by like 35 points tonight.
They got to win.
They got beat by the Niners last week.
I know, but there's no shame in losing to the Niners. That's a good football team.
Yeah, true.
What do you got, Bill? Who's your squad? We picked ours.
Bucks, I told you.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't paying attention to you like usual.
Oh, thanks.
So you have the Bucks.
Like the way they're playing.
All right,
like
so we, all three
I
of us
have Josh Freeman plays well in big games. I've been saying that since he was a rookie. I said Freeman, Mark Sanchez, Matthew Stafford. Freeman's going to be the guy that gets a ring out of. If any of those guys gets a ring, it's going to be Freeman first. I like the way he plays when the pressure's on.
Hmm. Well, okay. Seattle, my team did not play the Saints, and they did not play the Bucks. Head to head. I don't believe. So
in my the Saints definitely
beat the Bucks.
Beat the Bucks, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they play them again.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They play them again on the 16th of December.
There it is. Yeah.
And that game's at home in New Orleans, so that, you know, that could be big because, you know, for divisional record, conference record, all those tiebreakers.
So let's have a little fun here. Let's say it plays out just as it stands today, okay? In the NFC, you'd have the Falcons and Niners with the bye. You'd have the Bears hosting the Seahawks.
Correct.
And you'd have the Giants hosting the Packers.
Right.
Just like the same game you saw last week. Right?
Yeah.
So who do you have winning those two games quick, Bill?
Packers and
you're the playoff
Bears.
Man. You're the playoff
Packers
man.
And Bears. Packers and Bears. But Packers. I don't think the seeds are going to stay the same. But if we had to just go on it right now, Packers and Bears.
See, the Packers beat the Giants in the Meadowlands.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. What do you think, Kev?
That's a tough game. I like the Bears pick, but I think if the so you say the Packers Giants game is in the Meadowlands?
Yeah, same as last week.
I would take the Giants.
Yeah, so would I.
No.
And then you'd have Giants going to Atlanta, correct?
Yeah. Where I think that they can win, but I don't know. I mean, they smoked them at home last year, but it's a different year.
Packers going to Atlanta. Bears going to San Francisco. 49ers beating the Bears. Falcons beating the Packers. Falcons taking on San Francisco in Atlanta. 49ers winning. They go to the Super Bowl. And then they will play the New England Patriots there because the Patriots beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
The Broncos beat the Colts. The Colts lose to the Texans. The Ravens lose to the Patriots. Patriots beat the Texans. And there it is.
I'm with Bill on this. I think the 49ers Patriots have a good chance.
Who's their quarterback in the playoffs?
Kaepernick.
But Kaepernick, I don't think the Kaepernick? Seeds are going to stay the same, guys. Yeah. I really don't think the
think
seeds are going to stay
I'm
the same.
I'm 100% on Kaepernick in the playoffs.
I got a sneaky feeling. I don't know. We'll see. I got a sneaky feeling that
if the Packers do beat the Giants in the Meadowlands, it's going to be on like a 79-yard seam route by Jerk Michael going down the middle.
Jerk Michael?
Just running away from
Bill would love
some
that.
Jag safety.
I'd die.
Bill would love
just
that.
Just keel over.
He would keel over.
By the way, I pulled him this week, Bill. I started him the last couple weeks for Gronk, or the last week, and I pulled him. He did all right last week, but I'm going with the matchup and going, I'm going to start Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes Lewis,
yeah,
huh? Against the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, not a bad choice, Kev.
The Henny has been hot, and I'm a big Henny fan. So we'll see what happens.
Henny fan.
I think Henny can be serviceable. I don't think he got a fair shake, but we'll see. He's played really well the last 2 weeks. So we'll
surprised Henny didn't have a top 10 jersey.
don't mock me, old man.
Henny. Hey, he changed teams, right?
Pass the Henny. That was my fantasy name last year. Pass the Henny. He was my
Pass
QB2. And when he had like 900 yards on opening night against the Patriots, it was looking pretty good. Then it went downhill.
It sure did.
He got hurt, and then it was all over.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. All right.
All right, what do you say we wrap the show up?
Please wrap it up. Please. No more Fozzie Bear. Today. No more Muscle Hamster
Rogers,
sound bites.
Nothing.
Waka waka.
Now, we will say this. It's going to be a great game tonight, Saints and Falcons. That's just in a few hours, 2 hours from now. So if you're listening to us live, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you probably already saw the Falcons beat the Saints. But there's plenty excellent games in Week 13, Pats and Dolphins.
Hey, Kevin has the Saints, man.
Yeah, I have the upset, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, he's wrong. We all think the Patriots are going to win in this one, except Todd. You said Dolphins, or you think it's just going to be close?
Here you are, twisting the truth, man.
You just
I said
be close.
Ugly win. Ugly win for the Pats.
He thinks they cover. We'll put it that way. I think it's like 7.5, and you picked him to win by 5, Todd. I think you said 26-21?
Ugly win.
See, I remember what you said.
26. I have it written down. I have written down all our scores.
Unlike Bill, I remember.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have an awful memory. Anyway, the point is, it's going to be a great week at the NFL. We appreciate everyone listening to Football Nation. We'll be back next week for Todd DeVries, Bill Enright, Kevin, our producer. Excellent job today. So long. Have a lot of fun in Week 13.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.